bank or the entities that account to the department. We have had a very good collegial relationship with the department. Sometimes we shoot from the hip, sometimes we really are very, very considerate. But I think honorable members here are very people who are geared to want to see South Africa moving forward. Because this, your department minister, is the department which actually is at the center of all things that must happen. It be social issues, it be economic issues, you are at the center. Minister, you are heartily welcomed. I'll just quickly say the lady who's just about to sit down is Honorable Teko, from the African National Congress Minister. And then we've got Honorable Sibande, who is also from the African National Congress. We've got a member of the National Freedom Party, Honorable Shelembe. And then we've got Mam Kaula from the I wanted to say Freedom Front, Economic Freedom Fighters. I wanted to say Freedom Front. Something is telling me that it's Freedom Front. I don't know what. Mama Kaunda is from the Economic Freedom Fighters. Sending in for Madam Nolichungu, who is also in the other portfolio committee of basic education. And lastly, we've got Honorable Mpanza, who is from the ANC. And I'm chairing this portfolio committee, Mr. Minister of Transport in the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa, dealing with that. We are today going to be dealing with the APPs of, we start with the department, we will go into the entities. Minister, we have decided to do all the entities because we felt like when we say it is good with this one, we don't need to even engage with them, then it looks like they relax and something falls by the wayside, because if we, my memory says we were ATMS, AXA have been those ones who will get an audit outcome which is good, but surprise, surprise, because we're not bringing them on a regular basis, we have find ourselves in a situation where there are issues which are being raised by the Auditor General, and we believe that now we really need to be more hands-on onto every entity of the department. Having said that, Minister, and having welcomed you, I am going to be giving you to open the meeting before we give to the administrator. I am reliably informed, honorable members, that the projector is not working, so we will have to read from the your electronic document. So those who want us to go and chop more trees for them to get paper, it is unfortunate today you will have to do, because you've got those gadgets, electronic gadgets. I also have to indicate that the minister has requested to be released around 11:30 because he's got the media briefing on the outcomes of the Easter holiday statistics that he has to go and talk to the media about, and really would say we welcome him being here with us, and believing that this is the beginning of our interaction on a regular basis. Minister, let me give you the opportunity to talk to the portfolio committee. Mankau. She will do it.
Okay.
Yeah. She wants somebody who can translate. In Zulu. In Isisu.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not in Zulu.
In Isisu.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. If you can get a translator in Isisu. Unfortunately, Macau, this is Zulu, some is Zulu. But if Nakulma Shanga is on his I'm just checking that if I speak and then translate into Shangan.
No, sir. We look at the Labat Bakashi,
but
people question more. You are
very right. Valerie, you will be, if you can quickly organize for Honorable Kaula, so that we don't leave her behind as we're dealing with the issues, which are very, very critical to all of us. Minister, point of before, Honorable Banda.
No, Chair, I just want to just express this message. The Minister should not get an impression that we are a committee that comes to you. We are very punctual and very serious, as it's indicated. But we are requesting our staff administration to please sort out the issue of informing us today. I think it has been a struggle today within the offices and the venue is not identified. So that the minister won't go with the impression that we just come waiting. We are always here. He was going to come and see us, but there was a challenge of it. So I think going forward is the same for the challenge to that.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Minister, it's your turn.
Chair, thank you very much. It's a piece that I'm presenting, otherwise I would just gladly ask you that to Mama Kaula translation in this for free. Chairperson and honorable members, thank you very much. The Deputy Minister is here. Thank you very much for this opportunity. And also thanks for your understanding that I was released at 11:30. I want to assure you it's not because I'm running away from the court. As a matter of fact, I like engaging and accounting to the portfolio committees. You also get lots of ideas about how you can improve your own work. As I've indicated to you, we had to postpone the release of the statistics until after the end of the morning period for Mamu. We didn't want to announce something major was to end in the period. This APP was developed by our management, top management in the department, under the guidance of the minister. And in combining this, all relevant policies, legislation, and key mandates, which the Department of Transport responds to, were taken into consideration just by way of background. And the department's strategic outcome-oriented 2015 to 2020, medium term were also taken on board into consideration. And this 2018-19 APP of the Department of Transport also responds as you probably know that to remind us that four to follow government outcomes. Outcome four of the MTSF, which is to set employment through inclusive economic growth. Also our department contributes to outcome six, an efficient, competitive and responsive economic infrastructure. Outcome seven as well, we contribute to comprehensive rural development and land reform. And you have indicated that CAD has been informed our customers. And the reliable that not only very good but also other cultural as well as we contribute to outcomes, which is protect and enhance our environmental assets and natural resources. So the key areas of sensitive are local media, honorable members, just to touch quickly on them, because also they form an important background. The first one is efficient and integrated infrastructure network and operations in transport. The first component of that is the implementation of the National Transport Master Plan 2050, whose aim is to improve efficiency and effectiveness of a multimodal transport system that is well regulated and managed. Also, as part of providing efficient and integrated infrastructure networks is the importance also of promulgation of legislation and establishment of the Civil Transport Economic Regulator as one of our short to medium term objectives. This aims, of course, at providing, enhancing and guaranteeing private sector investments in areas that were exclusively state sectors, as well as to manage relationships between infrastructure owners and operators on how private sector and open up competition in a regulated way. An important component also of efficient and integrated infrastructure, honorable chair and members, is transport infrastructure build interventions. Under that is the need for maintenance of national and provincial road networks. Chair, I must say this is one of the most important areas, because there is sometimes a habit of building more roads whilst you completely neglect maintenance. In fact, it's not progress. It's going back, because maintenance, lack of maintenance cost us dear. Sometimes it's as good as we want to start that road from scratch just because we have failed to maintain it. So in order to achieve this then, we focus on supporting SANRA to allay investor concerns around regulatory uncertainty. The implementation of user pay principle as a financing instrument for road maintenance. Although there's a bigger issue here in Chile that I have actually been thinking about. In fact, it's been an ongoing issue. It arises in particular also in relation to GFIN, the ETO. How how do we as a country move forward over the next 15 to 20 years? How do we raise infrastructure for all the children? Sorry, financing for road infrastructure. It's a very important issue because there's the issue of the user pay principle. So we go and borrow and then users pay. But there are usually debates around the user pay principle, who pays, who doesn't pay. So I think that we might have to come up, we will have to come up with a strategy of funding our road construction maintenance programs on a sustainable basis. Of course, there's the key issue of the upgrade of Muloto Road, which continues to be a slaughterhouse. But there's no better way of describing it for our people. Also, the issue of rehabilitation, resealing, regraveling, as I've said, blacktop patching and plating of roads through this Habasonga program. And this Habasonga program is very important. My intention as a minister is to pay even more attention to this because it's got potential to create jobs and also contribute to local economic development, especially in rural areas. Of course, some of the transport infrastructure built interventions include rail network initiatives, the Muloto Rail Development Corridor, Station Modernization Program, Rail Rolling Stock Fleet Renewal Program, and the train manufacturing. Of course, buried in this honorable chair is the issue of safety. Especially metro rail. It's a big issue. That really requires all of us. The government has got its own role, but communities also in terms of addressing it. There's also then, as part of our key areas of service delivery over the medium term. Although, by the way, I don't have a service delivery, just to be honest. Because sometimes it gives an impression that government is not doing well. Literally, you push, you deliver. I think that we need to increase our approach to this. Also, communities and stakeholders must be an integral component of provision of services. Rather than it looks like it's a one-way thing. I don't know how, since 1994, we've gotten used to this. Maybe that's a different issue here. There's also issues relating to maritime transport policy with focus, of course, on operation practices, oceans economy. We also want, as I have hinted, to focus on a transport sector that is safe and secure. A road safe strategy, for instance, that aims at reducing road crashes and fatalities. Drivers not obeying or abiding by the laws in relation to driving of motor vehicles, which will require, amongst other things, road safety programs targeting youth, road safety educational and community programs, and for the railroad safety programs not to be matters of the Easter weekend and the festive season, but as a 365-day says one of the biggest problems which we are aware of is pedestrian fatalities. That's a big problem. And I don't want to preempt my press briefing at 12, but they've gone up this last week that we can compare to the previous week. The issue of pedestrians. Now, sometimes in some areas municipalities provide for safer ways of crossing the road. But those also sometimes are bridges become centers of crime. So what this requires is a major mobilization effort together with the community to actually promote this issue of safety, especially for pedestrians. We also need in this period to finalize and implement the National Railway Safety Strategy in order also to curb rail incidents and accidents. The other area of intervention, Chair, is improved rural access and infrastructure mobility through the finalization of the Access Road Development Plan to alleviate inconveniences and long distances traveled by rural citizens to access public critical amenities, as well as implementation of the evaluation of the LENA transport policy. I say that who are fetching kids on buckets and we have a terrible accident of these young kids being carried in a manner that is very unsafe and uncomfortable. In fact, I should have said that in terms of the key areas of the first one was efficient and integrated infrastructure network. Second one is the transport sector that is safe and secure. The third one is improved rural access and infrastructure mobility. And the fourth one is improved public transport services. Excuse me. And under that, we need to plan as well as construct bus rapid transit system in local and metropolitan areas. I've been head of this room, my apologies, Chair, which just is refusing to quarrel. In fact, it started when I was appointed back to cabinet. I was really having a very nice time. Beginning to get used to Uber Masalet. I'm joking on how the train and you are not a Masalet. But the pace at least is somewhat less than being a minister. So as I was just beginning to enjoy that, then I get taken. We also need a review of public transport strategy and tax recapitalization program to enhance provision of integrated public transport solutions. I do need to indicate here, DG, I hope I'm not out of order there, because there is a small rumor that has been spread that government is ending the tax recapitalization program. There is no such. What is ending is a contract which is in the process of being renewed to continue with the tax recapitalization program. So, but there are people who have been starting this story, and if it's true, there is no such. We want to reassure everyone, especially the taxi industry. Now, firstly, the key area of intervention is increased contribution to job creation, and this is very important. As I have said, the Hamba-Sonto program, provincial road maintenance being done, There are the secretary and chair, I'm sure they're all of us, and a problem in KZN, which I think that is the origins of this cumbersome of becoming a national problem, which targeted the employment of women, people from women-headed households, to maintain local roads. And you can see in some villages, you know, you could see the difference. I went to one household, which I knew very well. I'm in Babana. This next time I go in there, there's a new home divide. You see, a room divider is very important. And it shows you the man that is coming. And then it increased contribution of transport to environmental protection, green transport strategy. Now, I want to end then, Chair, because I don't want to go into detail, because our officials are going to take you through in detail, and also you get a chance to ask. But just to add a few key issues that need attention, which also we invite you to interrogate and interrogate us about what are we doing about this. Firstly, is the need to strengthen the oversight over public entities. I must indicate, Chair, that I am now in the process of establishing a committee to focus specifically on this matter. Because I'm worried that just as the opposite happens, it's not just the transport department problem. I think it's a government-wide problem. You know, that instead of providing, having effective oversight as departments over our entity, instead it's the entity that have got oversight over us, because often they have got better resources and they can employ experts that they pay 3-4 times more than we pay our duty, for example. It's a government-wide problem. So we do need to focus on this. But much more immediately is the issue of ensuring financial sustainability and governance, as well as the filling of board vacancies. I have been appointed to this department at the time that DG, I don't know how many entities, virtually all of them, with the exception of one or two. Either they need home boards because their term of office is coming to an end, or they've got hugely depleted boards. AXA has got only 2 non-executive and 2 executive board members, yes. And executive HMS as well. Yeah, but AXA also then. There's got 3. Now, if you have that, it poses a serious danger to governments, because you can't have board subcommittees, which are also required by law. Like, you must have an audit and risk committee. And there are 2 other committees. So you have got 1-person committees. It's just not okay. And in any case, even for proper accounting purposes, you do need audit and risk committees to have oversight on budget and expenditure. The other thing also is filling of critical vacant positions in my department. It's an acting department. So I am going to be prioritizing the filling of those. The last issue that requires urgent attention is to improve departmental internal control to ensure compliance with legislation and policies. And vigorously, you also then have a big role to play here, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, in vigorously implementing and monitoring action plans to address what we find. It's an area that we seem sometimes, I don't know, Parliament how we do this. I don't think that we should see this just as a school permit. Portfolio committees must scrutinize whether audit outcomes and findings they are claimed to have transposed. You can't be having the same audit finding year in, year out, and this will be criticized. It's something that will pay attention to, which must also be. Chair, thank you very much. Let me stop there and say I'm really looking forward to the interaction with your committee, not only today, but also going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you very much, Minister. Welcome, Deputy Minister. You arrived just when the Minister has just started, so we didn't miss much. Honorable members, I am going to allow the department to make a presentation. Minister, if you can just shortly explain to Makaula what you're saying in brief, all right? They are still looking for somebody. Apparently, they are in the NCOP, those things. But as soon as you get one, I would appreciate it. I don't feel very comfortable. I have to be okay. Honorable members, do you want to engage with what the minister has said? Or are we moving directly into the presentation? I will be dependent on you. Honorable Paula, Honorable Sibande.
Nibonga Chairman, there is no obstacle. It's a humble minute. Let's have a thing to do to sit up top and land again. Wabanga,
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Chairperson, yes, Mama, but I wanted to suggest that you give us maybe two minutes each.
Okay.
Not as courtesy, because coincidentally, we would have, and there are things that we need again.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will start to open up. Anything, Honorable Tolko? I'll be coming this way.
No, sir, you were first.
Honorable Sibande?
Chairperson, thank you very much. Minister, thank you so much also to come to be with us a few minutes before you leave. But I wanted to touch the issue of vacancies. See, Minister, what is worrying me with the issue of vacancies? There are vacancies which they need to address, like the appointment of board members. And it will be very difficult, maybe to some entities, to perform like this, because they don't have board members. And also, the term of the board members, some of them is about to elapse very soon, which is going to create more crisis. If you can try maybe speed up that one. Then also, the issue of moratorium. Leo Minister, it's unfortunate you came at the wrong and at the right time. It's long overdue. I don't know for how long we will sing the very same song, of which I thought that in some budget it is okay, so that we can see the progress, what is happening. I think this is the key. I can reserve myself that right, because then maybe some of the questions to the department itself, to the for the functionaries. Let me leave there. Well, lastly, sorry. Chairperson, the issue, Minister, may you please help us
We think another thing which is killing some of the entities is the duplication of work in terms of appointing consultants. Some of the entities, they depend so much with consultants. I don't think that will get any progress with that one, because what is happening, some people, they work for those particular people, when they are about to account, if there is something with the red lines, they resign. And the issue is raised also the issue of the relationship between the department and the provinces in terms of giving money to the provinces. In terms of proper monitoring, that's why we always cry foul about the issue of what do you call it, what I forget the name. The people supposed to clean about this thing of accounting before it goes out. I'll put it there.
Honorable Sharon.
Thank you, Chair President. And also, the Minister of Transport for being resurrected. I think resurrection is very, very important, much appreciated. It's not something that happens to everyone. But Minister, it also happened to me when I was resurrected, so congratulations. Honourable Minister, I'm concerned about what you raised, the issue of Omarum for transporting the school kids. And we have also experienced a number of fatal accidents, especially in that time. Now, maybe if Honourable Minister, you can now consider prioritizing the rural infrastructure, especially the roads, because you'll find that the good transport to transport these kids, I mean, they are not keen to go to these areas because their roads are not good in rural areas, especially. That's what I've seen. And even the scholar transport assistance that these buses, they don't go to these areas because their roads are not good. Maybe if the minister can look to it and prioritize it, that let's have these roads, I mean, done so that, I mean, we reduce the issue of this overloom. Because overloom is by a lot of, because they know that there are no other transports to take these kids and they use it advantage. And also, Minister, the issue of maintenance, as we have raised, if you sometimes get a chance, the road between Dundee to Friday, there is a place in the middle there where the road is down. After 2 months, the road is sinking. And we may experience a fatal accident there because I've seen that number of times driving on that road. But maybe the officials around that area will know that there is a where they fix and sink within 2 months and then it is coming out. And the last one, the prioritization of tarring the road. I'll make example, say a road, I mean, from Loskop to Wendy's. There is a good, I mean, a road that joins the freeway entry and takes people to Wendy's, but there is a road that is being tarred, but only one farm that is there. There are no, I mean, people. Now, if you go to where there are a number of people staying, their roads are not tarred, but only the road that goes to one farmer is getting the tar. So maybe if you can look, how do they prioritize where, I mean, say, for instance, from Winnen, the route from Winnen that joins to Umsil, there is no tarring that passes there by Satoon. But now, the department prioritizes the road that goes to one farm. If you get the officials from, I mean, escort transport department, they will know that the road that comes from Loskop and joins to Wendy's, but in fact, but to the farmer, not to the people. I thank you.
Honorable Kai, Libonga Sano, that's a thing that Nani Bonga and myself would be well to tell them.
If Honorable Shalenda can switch off.
Yeah. Because we think that they, in the department, are not in the school, you know, no, the people in the department, I'm saying, who's a lot of school, they're going to remove the direct, put to them that the student like it again. Don't show me in the government. Now, that's that, though. And the level of improvement band, but so Canada and get back to the entire Kuluma and Zonga Mahiese. You know, thing about if Kuluma improvement in Makaya, the same thing, one of the Pelacol of one of us anymore. Yavana would let the Yamquak. First, number one, in Tagata, as the Sumakai, meaning Islam. Ubuti wouldn't work Uzo Sugala, Uzo Benada, Uzo Tatus Catus and Gaga. Now, the Induna Gaba Makosi, Gaba Makasa, Umpas doing as the good to the Bon Sushai Toy, Subona in to Tunbe Yam. And then the exit would. Even at the end of toy, you don't have an enlightened officer. Abam Tati and Magatin, isn't it busy? Anything that Sarah Shara could let on that Shaluan, he lay your booty. Sister Kuluma would turn Magata was new. Since I didn't think that your booty. If the one of the Kuluma Kosuwa Mama Pumul and Gandor, Lumpa called Chamber from 2005, Lumpa Kuba wins you. That is in your hand back on the one that you can do one of the things that you want to do with the hotel and that you want to do with the hotel and the hotel. My way is the important thing. I have years of shadow and generation that will actually end the matulope. But whenever I spark a loop, I call up my shippers and the shippers and I call Mrs. Chanel, I call this out to Marine Zulu, and I don't get on a party, I don't get them to be. Lucky, now I look to gain that shaman out of the last. Kepoze ini sabat bagi usia jadi. Engi bangga umi minister atau deputy minister. Menangkan kami gumbang muntu bangga dengan rasa. Rasa bagi kerja itu deputy minister atau minister di samping ini. Nizok hamba dalam seluruh pada mata dan makulu sentuh pelanda itu senut tujuh jenis ini. Lapor hamba mata umpan tujuh malin suayon dengan sabat. Modul adalah nizok tujuh kuakoi. He motor that was dying that then I was to come, but I didn't know him. I was to him over because last one was to be member of parliament. Now, before then, I was saying, oh, minister, when I show why I'm going to ask the people, they went in why I called. Now, I'm going to ask what my special was, what was within the contract, where you're going to go to the money, I went there. No, we managed to go to the government, I was sure I come up. Who's the Uyokuma headline deal? And anything Kalangayo, Emma Kaya, Lendo Yama, San, I call this out to Mkwakola, Kuna Machida, Aiko, Chambe Aiko, and told to Aiko. And let me go to the students to Usao Chichi, Mau Pega Maje, I said to Into. Not Lendo Ethica, but Lendo would say. Minister Mbiyana Buyela Diyena, but we manage a good name now, we must sugar pass that to good dose wood. He motto, I want to come back to him, and I know the top band, but to come back, I said to my wife. And the Matias Band, I got about when he's empty, couldn't put a lot of his own tombshan, let me preach that humble man on the side for him. La Pinda, la Hamba, and la Hamding and the Dam. We manage the one Kuluma Dowage, and that's more fear for the dome just for the people can. Abantu bisilethwa kade beshaya itoritori zevalu kwazo. Inkontraka abatshela abantu bomphakathi. Mangibuza izizathu kuthiwa kuthiwa. Anithi abantu lapha emakhaya umuntu vela lime nje ukuthi nine awuthi lana indawo ka-government kanjani ayikhulule. ngenxa yokuthi ayikho i-CNO babayithathile yomphakathi kuxhulane nabo ukwazi batshela kuthi phela abasakwethu khumbulani nendawo foyika government. Le ntuthuko iningi enze kubuhlunguzo zabantu uwat 7 ndiuwat 7 and 8 kuleya ndawo leya ndawo nozokuthoka sabantu okubuhlungu ile nto okuthi ukhuluma ngandawo ngoba uminisi ugcine kunikeza uhlabisa. Uhlabisa washo wathi ikhona imali yabe anikaza futhi wabanika nama-instructions ababantu ukuthi yini ofuna bayenze lapha. Kodwa still i-province ufike ukhulume nayo asazethi kumele uhambe sikhohlile. Yileyo nto minister endifuna siyikhulume nawo. Okunye yabona futhi khona eMvoti sem umgwaqo lowo kwadube bridges eMvoti uphuyo ophumele othongane umile futhi nakhona ama-potholo-ke akakhulu. Mina nje imoto yami sishawa amathanga azongakhe okunye. Enye-ke into-ke sibuyele kwilento ezayo sesibuyela ko-driver-ke manje ngiyathanda minister into oyibeka ngayo leyomalume. Le nto yomalume ngizoyisho nje phela ngoba kufanele ngisho ukuthi ngizoyisho kanjani okwenu lokho inhle imbi ngabe kuhle labomalume kuba ikhona indlela abathrainwa ngayo ezigovernment ukuthi okay nina nithutha umphakathi nina nithutha iy'ngane iy'ngane efuna niy'phathe kanjani. First number one le ngoma egqoma ekhaya kuyona ingane leya yami lokokuqala lokho. Okwesibili yindlela abaziphatha ngayo abamonitho bayaphuza utshwala. Into engiyitholile ukuthi iy'ngozi ey'ningi nesikhathi sebeyibhekile iy'ngane ukuthi manje bafuna bayishinga lesiyena bese behlala banendaba apaka kuyona bayaphuza utshwala and bazotholani lezi ngane zethu. Okunye okwenzekalayo iy'ngane bayadlina ukubeza ingane iyesaba ukusho ukuthi nikubezwa umalume and zonke lezo zinto izathwayo ukuthi ngiyakubonga ukuthi uNkulunkulu azongibeka kuleokuthula nayeni ngiyenzakalo minista ngizokuqabuqaba. Bese futhi kulabo driver bama-long distance nayibona ingozi akhona akuphumi noyedwa kuyona. Inkinga ikuba ngithi ngithazwa nje e-petrol station ngiyohlangana namandezi manager edila nama-long distance. Ingozi yakhona ithi ma ngabe yenzekile akusindi muntu yini siyagijima basebenza bona ma ngisebuza phela nami ngiyazenzeyazoutiyaqolele kuzenzela yona ma umuntu why nisebenza kanjenale ngozi bathi lapha basuke behola ngokuthi wena wenze amalodi amangaki enjelo yona and mango wakhala wathi wena eyi niyagijima futhi uye bade lelo driver vele bami basho ukuthi yehle endleleni. Inkinga lezo engifuna ukuthi kunomnyango sixoxe nazo bayajelela odriver ababa-long distance abawahlonipha ama-passenger. Ngibuya ekuvumeni-ke manje bese sibuyela kuleyo eyivumele ngiyakule nzima kakhulu ke minista ngemvume yakho sihlala ngicela ungivuke minista. I-project yonke i-business iqala kancane kancane liya ngokhuphuka and siyazi amathuba omsebenzi awekho. Njengoba amathuba omsebenzi engekho le mboni yamathekisi kufanele abe siyayibonga ngoba leya mboni iphakela abantu abaningi iphake wena onaye awugcina wena ngokuyikhande iphakela udriver iphakela nomuntu ophela obaphekelayo kanjalo njalo. Kodwa manje umbuzo wami yile yamaphemithi ukuthi ma ngabe ninga nithi kulo mnyango hhayi asenika amaphemithi abantu abasanikezwa amaphemithi ngabe kukhona ndalo kwi-constitution ethi hhayi amathekisi azoqala manje agcinela kwaphela ikhona ukuhle phela umsebenzi ayikho angithi nibe nani nibe ninako ukuthi iy'ngane ezilaphana khona ey'fundile kodwa igcine isiyiqashela kusebasekusini mina bengiyathanda ukuthi nathi amaphemithi bengixoxe ngeyindlela ukuthi ayiyele kwenendaba yokuthi kuthiwa aye amaphemithi sevalile phinde kodwa futhi ngiyayibophe lezi moto ezingenawo amaphemithi. Angisho ukuthi ayisebenzi imoto engena amaphemithi kodwa yenzani sho ukuthi amaphemithi phela kukhombisa ukuthi inkampani yabantu abamnyama iyathuduka nokuthi niyiqalesa ihambisuke idulile bantu. Ngiyayibona lento engihlala ngayo. Enye into engibona ukuthi ngisenenkinga. Ngibonge ngiyawubanga umsebenzi wenu muhle ngama-ilte nigcwale emgwaqweni nize ngigqoke ma into zokusebenza shoda ama-avrola bokuphela noma kalaba. Nigcwale emgwaqweni nihlaphela muhle nomsebenzi kodwa kumina ngiwuthatha njengomsebenzi wenkawu. Why ngisho njalo? Le nto ile ansakathi ngabe niyenza njalo. Ngoba uyabona la maphoyisa siwabeke lapha emgwaqweni. Akawumina myself angathi ngihamba no driver and angiboni ukuthi ngihamba naye ukuthi uzokhuza ibhondi, yes. Manje sithi sizokhamukela sithi avele ukuqhamuka ephoyisa likamasipala. Ma siqhamuka le phoyisa likamasipala bese ngithi hawu kwenzekeni mfethu wona imoto ngithi right. Athi hawu ubambele iselfoni ngikhuluma nocingo. Ukunoma amthatha ambopho wavele wathi nje yabona le mane ngabaphathana wavele wathi uyazi mfethu mina ngihlele lapha kangokuyishiqulela yabona leya nto imbi ngoba kusho ukuthi umuntu uzokwenza ukugebenga azi ukuthi iphoyisa liwavele linikeze kanje afakela bese liyamdedela angithi uyayibona loo nto kwani kusemgwaqweni mina ngokwande ngithi ake uqiniswe lo mthetho ukuze iy'ngozi zinciphe nemoto ibheke ukuthi le moto isesimeni yini. Omalume nje bayiqedile ingane qedinga ukuthi uyeza kuthwenta uzuma asekuphele ingane wabalela ke njengoba ngikhuluma la I'm not think ukuthi ngikhuluma ngithela amanzi mhlawumbe wedade atransi Eastern Cape. I'm sorry but sesakhululeka e-Eastern Cape iy'ngozi ziningi lapha. Imigwaqo yakhona igcwele ama-pothole. Angakwazi uma ngibona ukuthi i-province iyehluleka mina ngizosho ukuthi iyehluleka. Ngoba ekugcineni lowa muntu masesini ufela u-government, angithi obani ofela abancwadi u-government. Ngicela khulunye ukuthi ngikhona into eniyenzayo minister. Zimanje ngiyakwazi. Ake ngikubone ngempela ukuthi lezi zinto engiyishoyo niyazilandela. And mina ibufuna ngiyokukhombisa ngohamba ngikhombisa. Lesempumalanga nge-oversight. Bahamba buhlungu kabi mina bathi bekaluhlapha ama-hamba. Ngithi mina kugodi. Ngoba phela yithi zii-members ze-parliament. Ukuze sazi thina ukuthi le zinto esikhuluma ngazo nalezi mali esithe ziye kubantu laphandleni. Sinenkinga everywhere kodwa ama-province abafuna ukusebenza. Angazi mina. Uminister nu-deputy minister ayisekhathele kumina. Ngimtshela. Nesinye isikolo kuthola ukuthi ama-bridge awekho njengaleli laselishanile uma ngathi asambi sokuyokhali nempilo. Iy'ngane zesikolo kunaziwe ukuze zime ngaphesheya zikhumule yonke into before bese ziwela la. Wathi uma kufika ikhukhula abafa abantu bese nihambe nomisa amatende noblanket nokampeni no four round. Ngiyabonga.
Ngiyibekile
Let me first welcome the presentation. It's actually giving us a glimpse of hope and also an indication that the minister is on top of the issues and is actually hitting the ground running. I think the minister, you have hit it on the nail on those five strategic areas that we have identified at the end of your presentation, particularly the one of filling the post of the board members, because as you correctly said, if that is not attended, then the issue of Dublin, the accountability is really affected. And also for filling the critical post in the management, particularly the senior management, it's a matter because you need those resources to actually drive the progress. Minister, I would also propose that programs of the department should also address the issue of the children challenges of poverty, unemployment, and inequality as a strategic objective of the department. I think that is very much important. Then also you have highlighted the issue of job creation. I think it's a good thing. We are having high levels of unemployment in this country. And I think our department must also contribute in actually addressing that one. But also the issue of township and rural development or creation. I think this pattern of economic sitting in one section of a particular area or geographically concentrated in certain areas, which are developed areas, I think we should shift those kind of settings and actually make sure that township and rural people they also benefit in what we are doing. I fully support you, Minister, on the issue of community involvement. I think it's very much critical also. We should emphasize the fact that communities should be active participants in their own development so that they will take ownership. Because the other problem that you are faced with, people are destroying government property because they think that they are not part of the decision and also the implementation of those projects. So I think it's very much critical that that component of involving the community is very much taken on board. I fully support you on that one. Lastly, Chairperson, I would really plead with the Minister to work closely with the community, our community, and we'll work closely with you as well. We both need each other. The task that is before us is so big, and I think if we work together, we will then be able to achieve all the strategic objectives that we want to achieve. And I also want to appeal to you, that you be hands-on. So don't be far away, Minister. This department needs that kind of a practical and a hands-on political leadership. The deputy knows that she has been doing that very well, and I think that leadership of yourself and the deputy minister and being involved and being practical and being hands-on, I think it will assist us a lot because there's quite a lot of area, particularly in our entity. Quite a lot of areas that needs to be dealt with. So I want to just have that appeal, and I'm sure that it's an appeal that is going to be well received, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bumsinga. You're welcome. We extended your apology earlier on. Is there anything you'd like to talk to the minister about?
Thank you, Jay, indeed, to never let the opportunity like this slip away. Again, to the meeting and through you, Jay, may I just then again just offer my apology for being late this morning. You might know it's not my normal way that I operate. And I want to acknowledge the presence of the Deputy Minister and say good morning, Minister. My name is Chris Hunsinger, and I welcome your appointment, Hunsinger. There's several interpretations under my colleagues about that. You might have heard this one. But Minister, indeed, there's a lot to talk about. I missed your initial presentation, and I look forward to the engagement and how you handle all the challenges that certainly awaited you. With that, Chair, I think you need to proceed.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. I think we'll just update you and brief you as to what were the issues that the Minister was talking to us on. Minister, let me just indicate that very, very crucial what you have spoken to. The user pay principle, particularly the GFIP issue, we need to urgently look into it and come up with strategies as to how we can be able to deal with the user pay principle, because definitely we need money so that we can be able to continue expanding infrastructure, but also maintaining the very infrastructure that we're talking about. We had an interaction, Minister, with the 13 municipalities that are implementing BRT, and this month we will be going to do oversight visit. But we realize that the challenge is, this is a national policy, it's being implemented in very different ways, which actually becomes a very challenging thing, because everyone is implementing the policy the way they believe it will suit them. You are very conversant with what I am talking about, because if you take Gauteng, you've got Ekurhuleni, Johannesburg, and Tshwane. All of them have got different ways of implementing the BRT while they are in the same province. And I can say the same as here in the Go George and my city. Different ways of how things are being implemented. And I think we need to look into that to say, this being a national policy, how do we make sure that how we implement these things is kind of consistent? And even if there's deviation, there's a little bit of deviation here. But we're concerned the amount of money that has been spent. When you look at the type of issues that are there, not really equivalent to the amount of money that has been spent. And I am elated, Minister, that you're looking into the taxi recapitalization. I think we need to take a few steps back and say, where does the taxi recap come from? The entity is the one that has been really pushing the question of taxi recap. And I think over and over again we've been speaking to the department to say, down the value chain, where are the other businesses which were supposed to come out of the taxi recapitalization? The maintenance of these cars, the spare parts, you name it, you get it, in terms of the NTT issues. We would be very excited and we'd be comfortable if those downstream issues are able to be implemented. We don't focus on buying cars only and buying cars. We should be able to make sure that we can be able to win these businesses off government, because the lifespan of a car, in particular a taxi, it's very short. To be precise, probably 36 months, but not 48 months. You need to change that taxi again and be able to look into it. Somewhere, there is a need for these business people to look into, and what else is not that? They pour petrol on a regular basis. Whose business is that? They change tires on a regular basis. Who is giving them these tires? The spare parts and all these other things. But Minister, I'm very happy with the approach that we are having. And in particular, I want to say I am very excited with the fact that you have started looking into the entity and looking in particular into the governance issues. When you establish the board, that's an indication that governance issues will be looked into and be taken seriously, because this has been kind of a challenge. I want to applaud you, Mpepetu, Honorable Minister. The appointment of Prasa Board, it's something that as a portfolio committee, we really have to say thank you very much, because this has been a thorn in our flesh, because every time you look into issues of Prasa, you will find that it is found wanting. But having spoken to you, it is very important, Minister, that we take issues of modernization, whether it's of stations, whether it's of trains, very, very serious. So that our people, because trains are used by the people who are the neediest, we start to increase the trains in almost all the metros, so that our people can have easy access. Maybe even us one day, we will move from our parliamentary villages using trains to come to parliament here, unlike clogging the N2 as we come in from our parliamentary villages. Because if we've got sufficient, we know that Prasa will be coming later on in the day, but the number of coaches has been so drastically reduced. And therefore, that is why you see the challenges that you're seeing, and in particular, the challenges of safety in trains. So we are elated, because this is a step in the right direction of the million steps that you will be taking of making sure that there is correction, in particular, of the state-owned enterprises, and very excited that there will be a unit which will be focusing on the entities. To me, that is what I can be able to write home about, and thank you for that, because it definitely will be able to really have the finger on the pulse of every entity which is not upbeat and up to the task that it has been assigned to do. Minister, I'm going to give you some 15 minutes for you to respond, then you can begin to go into the APPs. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and to honorable members for comments and questions. I agree about the board. For instance, some of the board's terms expired at the end of this month. I had a challenge when I came in on the 27th of February. Because already adverts have been made by the department, who are rightly so, for board members. But I thought, let me also give myself an opportunity just to read, not to open, give another window of 2 weeks for further nominations. I wasn't judging existing board members, but I although who had applied, but I just wanted also that I give myself a little bit more time. But in the course of any delay, the appointments got to be made. But I accept that we need to move with speed to appoint capable people who are going to focus on the task at hand. I want to be honest, you know, one thing that struck me at Prasa, for instance, is that all else was a priority except the provision of safe rail transport for the working class. So it's very important, therefore, that when one is looking for people, you never mix. You get people with experience, but also you want new people that you want to build to be able to run these entities which are very important. Thank you, Chair, also for welcoming remarks to the some of the actions that we've taken, especially the Democratic Board. Now, Mr. Sivan is also right. The issue of monitoring of money is maybe when the DG makes his presentation, by the way, he will add and the others on some of these issues. Maybe we need to be technical details or updates. But it is important that we monitor the money that we give to courts. For example, one area which is a challenge is the provincial road maintenance grant, which sometimes doesn't go to where it's supposed to go when it reaches purposes. So we do need to. The issue of our money is of serious concern to me, and we are taking this as a department, maybe the DG or the relevant DG will also talk about this matter. One small challenge that we need to address, and it seems small, but it has got huge impact, Chair. I'm sure maybe you yourself are aware of this, that the responsibility for learner or scholar transport in different provinces is not located in the same department. In some provinces it's education, in others it's transport. So it poses some challenges. Our own preference is that actually it must go to transport. But provinces, premiers have got their own prerogatives on how they allocate. It should go to transport with due respect, but also in education. Mm. Educationally, it's not nothing about transport. Mm. They must concentrate on what they know, which is education. Just like us, we can't pretend that because we are carrying the kids, we are therefore educationalists. No, we know transport. But we believe that part of solving the problem is to have the transport department play a lead role. Because also we have got capacity to regulate, which departments of education do not have. But we can't impose that from above, as I say, because provinces have got their own power. Mankawi, maybe a quick way to respond to all the issues which you are raising, which are important, is to do what has been doing with the Deputy Minister. Where we were concerned about roads, tell us. This road and that one, this one and that one. And then we send up teams to go and look into that and see what is actually going on. Otherwise, all the issues that we are raising, including this issue, by the way, of communities not being engaged on road construction, especially in the rural areas, the employment of lads and officers from outside communities when I believe they should be drawn from those communities. I would like to hear more, even if it's not here, even outside of this comment, about this specific, I don't know whether I understood you correctly on time, as to what are the specific issues. For instance, the one dimension of permits that I've become aware of relates to Uber, taxis. Some provinces are doing very well in managing that aspect from a permit point of view. Others are not doing that, which is an issue. But when I heard you correctly, you were talking about the Kumbi taxis. As to what the issues are. I would like to get more information so that we are able. And that is the DG and the DG, the head, you think, perhaps come in and give you details. But of course, this is right. This thing of pain, I'm told in one country I shall not name, they take your passport, they say, You say what page is missing? My passport is no. There is a page that is missing. That must go in. They put it. No, I have had the opportunity of interacting with some of the traffic officers, including the Road Traffic Management Corporation, to say we do need to give this matter serious attention and end seriously where that happens. But of course, similarly, we expect road users, by the way, to also respect air traffic enforcement officers. They are doing great job under difficult circumstances, with the exception, of course, of those water networks that they are talking about. That's who must catch it, Friday's parking. As well as the issue of hazardous roads and bridges. We can also be specific, where do we need some of those bridges? Where do you see being a gap? So that we can then see what to do if we need a particular problem. Honorable Mpanza, I agree that we must anchor our work around the traffic challenges. It's very important. As well as, by the way, also anchor it around addressing class, race, and gender in transport. I've told the fragment that I've been the Deputy Minister here that in transport, I think I remember that. Everywhere across the board, it's men. We do need to work that matter very seriously. So, but otherwise I agree also. I'm looking forward to working closely with you, the portfolio commission, and also being supported. Thank you very much, they call you Singh because I suppose that it is for them who are to make things easy. Chair, just lastly, maybe quickly to deal with some of the issues that you have raised. And by the way, if I haven't touched on this, it doesn't mean that I haven't noted and responded closely. I'm not responding to everything that has been said. Yes, I agree with the issue of the user pay principle. It's an important debate and an important discussion, because on the one hand, user pay principle in particular can be particularly harsh in a particular section of the poorer section, working class, and so on. But on the other hand, as a developmental state, we can't be funding the rich, those who can afford to pay. They must pay. So how do we get a balance there? Because if we to call for scrap user pay principle, it sounds very revolutionary. But in fact, it's very backward and inappropriate, because we are in essence allowed. It's like the demand for free higher education for all. Because those who can afford to pay must be able to pay, given where we are. But there are complexities, and we do need to address that issue. Discuss it as a practical challenge, but incorporate theoretical dimensions as well. What are the issues that are at play? I agree on BRTs. I agree on that. But also it's a bit tricky, Chair, maybe. Because tradition may not be the same from one municipality to the other. But at the same time, we must take into account what you say. You know, that it can't be so vastly different as different problems. One of the big issues here is effective engagement and participation of stakeholders. who will be affected also can be participating in this. That's why I agree with Honorable Barber that the issue of community involvement in those things is very crucial in transport. Very, very crucial. The issue of participation also in the tertiary capital. You know, in my previous life, I led a campaign on the financial sector. And one of the people we engaged was in taxi industry. And we were saying, the man called it Natoja Mbarawa Makomanis. So we're in that color, we engage the taxi industry and say, you know, it's amazing the potential you have for taxi for. The way you could be sourcing petrol. Many things actually. Even garages that fit, you know, maintenance and all of that. But there seems to be reluctance when, in other words, our communities have got very good experiences in co-ops. But there's reluctance to upgrade beyond your ordinary barrier society and your ordinary stuff. I don't understand why our various societies do not make their own coffee, for example, and go to the same place to do that. But there seems to be a problem on how to upgrade. Maybe there isn't a trust. People, they want to see this man and the services close here. But there is lots of potential, I agree with that. Chair, let me end with something I should have said at the beginning. I've been doing round. Oh, at first I was after being appointed, I was being briefed by the Deputy Minister and the Department taking me through the various branches. Now I am in the second phase. I'm doing entities. I've done five. I go to where they are and they brief me. One of the things I've been saying across the board, which also I think maybe might want, this is, by the way, the last financial year of the sixth administration. Maybe even besides that, but what is important for me, what is it that can be done over the next 12 months? Not too many things, but which are things that can be realized. And they make a difference in the lives of our people. They make a difference to our economy and so on. I also hope you also help me ask that question. I know APPs are about that. But at the same time, I think it's important maybe to highlight very critical and key things that can really make us to close the era of this administration with pride. Especially in transport. I'm forgetting this. Let me leave you with this. I had a meeting with the president last week. I won't say what we were talking about because the media is going to get excited. But one of the things the president was raising is a very important thing. It's the role of our department in SADC. He says, for instance, every president of a SADC country that he may, he or she may, there's all men. There's no women in SADC. There's no women president. Say it in the call. They say, we also want, why can't you help us have the same highways that you have in South Africa? Now, I think that there are a lot of initiatives that we do as a department in SADC. But you are saying, let's even begin to look whether you can't have, for instance, the Southern African Sunrise. Even if it's just an agent that deals with better cooperation and better coordination. The role of transport in regional economic integration. in the region. Let me leave you with that. And say thank you very much for your understanding. Manjira Mumkaula, Ben Pim, and what we see is up to Victoria. I thought you had to have some information.
Thank you very much, Minister. Let me, on behalf of the Portfolio Committee, say in my indigenous language, we say Uja Ipenget, and I can't translate that. Makaula is doing just that. Uja Ipenget. Uja. We're looking forward, Minister, to really interact and engage with you because you become more clever. The last statement that you have spoken to of the Southern African Sandra, it's a very telling statement. We have been with the two past ministers, having talking to them to say probably we can be able to make money using GBSA and SANRAL going into African states and making sure that even the African bank gets on board so that we start working towards the ideal of African Union. Remember, the president of the republic was assigned, or still is assigned, to look into infrastructure-related matters in Africa. And we were starting to talk to other parliaments to say if the presidents are going to be talking to infrastructure issues, therefore it means that even us as legislators, we should start looking into legislation which can be the same in SADC, which actually will be able to allow the heads of governance in SADC to do infrastructure development, but being allowed by legislation. And I think this minister that you and the president have been talking to is a step in the right direction, because you can't have your neighbor who actually envies you and you're not doing something about that. The other thing, Minister, that I always engage CDRTA around is the question of how businesses, when they go into SADC countries coming from South Africa, how they get treated. Because you will find the boom gate, which is supported to be a toll gate, and then you get paid, you get asked so many questions. There's a lot of things that they need. Like you have indicated, they will also be needing another page of your passport, which is lost. And we don't reciprocate that when they come into South Africa. Because businesses, South African businesses, when they go to other southern countries, they pay big time. But when they come into South Africa, things are easy going for them. And I've been saying to Mr. Kumalo that, you know, even if we're not making them to pay, we need to start working towards a approach which actually is received by every other business in southern, so that everybody can be able to eat. It must be a fair play throughout. And the thing that really makes me go bigger is how the gas emissions, their cars really, our cars are very good. We do produce greenhouse gases. But when you look at cars that come from southern countries, really, the environment gets damaged precisely because of the tide. I don't know whether it's their fuel which is making the cars or what exactly is happening. And those are the challenges that we are faced with to say, how do we deal with this type of situation when they are here? But Minister, the other thing is for next time when we talk, we really need to talk about the overloading which actually is killing our roads. We really need to talk about that. It is very, very important that, you know, whether you're going to Mozambique on the N4, whether you're going to Zimbabwe on the N1, or you take N4 West, you will find that there is so much overloading, and it definitely isn't right. Thank you very much, Minister. That is good for thought for the next time also, that how do we deal with the gas emissions? How do we deal with the overloading, which actually becomes a health hazard and becomes a safety issue and a safety problem on our roads as we deal with that? Because even when you go to Swaziland, it is the same thing. Whether you're coming down south or you're coming north, going to all these African states, it definitely is a challenge. And how do we make sure that the permits that Bakaula was talking to, particularly cross-border permits, how do we really regulate that so that it doesn't become war? Between Lesotho and Free State, there are serious challenges on issues of permit, and that's why I'm saying for next time, we should be able to deal with that. Thank you very much, Minister. DM, I think you can be able to greet us and Uthule, the people who will be dealing with the APPs and threat plans. Uthule, that's why I'm engaging. Okay.
Okay. That's one.
Okay.
Yabona nabezingqabane esiyibona kuma-testivalence njengoba ngathi sigcina sekuliwa ngokuba nale-valence phana indlala enxa yamaphemithi ma singalungisa yona izoba rayithi bese ngibuza minista kungani emarisbeke akhona amazephuzane amabhasi athutha laba bantu abahluphekile iy'ngane zabo ezisikoleni kodwa emakhaya leyo program ayikho nhlobo. Ngiyabonga ukuyasho ukuthi khona kodwa ephansi ayenzeli nhlobo emakhaya. Abantu bathatha bezima beza-presentation bagcina sebegibela ngazo. Ngiyabonga Minister.
Like the minister has indicated, Makaula, we need as a portfolio committee to correct the challenge of e-learner transport in different provinces being either in the Department of Education or in the Department of Transport. That is what is a challenge. The minute we say your job as basic education, your core function as basic education is curriculum and curriculum related matters, leave these other things of scholar transport to those who are competent, those who regulate, it will assist Ubuti. You find that everybody is treated the same. You get all those abomarume and whatever, precisely because there is no, there are different ways in different provinces as to how these things are being dealt with. Minister, you want to talk to this matter so that we can move on?
No, Chair, I've had my comment on what she's saying and so on. I don't think she has expected that I respond now. So that also I save you time if we are able to there's nothing which stops you from my code. I've never seen you walking through the ANC side, friend. You must be pretty sure that you can be able to talk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think maybe we should move on to the presentation because some of the questions that we have answered in the presentation. But maybe that the work that I know, the work that most people in the job, I know the work. I just don't understand as to which one he's talking about, because if you don't call crossing over N3, and then there's when they see crossing over N3, they are currently then, and then there's one that connects between the work and the work is close to this thing. I'm not sure whether he's referring to that call. And if the road that he's talking about, I'm not aware that it is being constructed. I think it was constructed, I would probably agree with you because it would be dead in missing one, but just about 4 kilometers is N3 to and you especially get into N3 because actually I can join the one with the road. It would be a waste of money if that road got to one that is being constructed. Because there are indeed other roads that require a lot of attention than the currently not used. By many people because of the entry now on the off-ramp to Windows. That's what I wanted to say. But I think we can make very quickly take questions from the community.
Okay? We can tell you that I tell you. Welcome, Honorable Khadebe. Welcome, Honorable Defrater. We are just about to hand over to the acting DG so that he can be able to present the APP threat plan of the department. Acting DG, it is your turn to make a presentation. Honorable members, let me once again repeat that the projector is not functional, so you can be able to view your presentation from your laptop and iPad. It has been sent to your booster. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, members of the Photo Committee, my colleagues. It seems that in some time I was ready. Several times I was ready to the presentation. But I just to say that I just took three questions. One is that, of course, we will be able to deliver some of the questions that were posed to the center in the presentation, but also during discussion. Secondly, Chairperson, how that minister would have spoken to, I hope that he would have spoken to also for myself and the deputy minister. We're supposed to be part of this media briefing of 12 o'clock. It looks like for me in particular to be a little bit of a challenge, but I'll try to move slightly faster. The last part, Chair, we have received an apology from the newly appointed board of Prana. And the board has not even assumed office as yet. As a result, they may not be able to be with you this afternoon, but the executives are here to talk to the APP chair. So I will proceed with the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Slide 2 is the contents of the presentation. We'll deal with how we align ourselves to the MTSF estimates and measures in the strategic agreement of the Minister and the President. We will deal with the your recommendations from the BRRR document. Although we'll first refer to the document itself, not in the slide, but we have responded to all the system recommendations and eight reportable areas. And then we will talk to the APP issues for the last financial year of the Swiss administration and ministerial process. You will see, Chair, that the targets are also reducing, mainly because the majority of them have been achieved, the MTSF, and we'll be able to indicate those. We will also touch in a slide the issues around the AG findings, but we have supplied you with a spreadsheet of the action plan to address the AG findings. So we shall see the majority bar for two have been addressed, and then we'll talk to some of our key challenges as we normally do, and then we'll talk to the budget summary in terms of how we then are going to be dealing with those targets that we set ourselves for 2019. Chair, the arrival of the department is reflected in what ended the delivery agreement between the minister and the president that was signed at the beginning of the term, this term, the sixth term. And we, of course, we respond to outcomes 4, and in terms of what we do for outcomes 4, our currently show monitoring of key objectives by end users of infrastructure programs. And then we also respond by extensive due to outcome 6, that is where you even see the issues around the 9-point plan of government being located. But our responsibility in the chair, we're supposed to establish the STEM, which is the Single Transport Economic Regulator. We can safely say that STEM has been approved by cabinet for public comment. We are going to cabinet for final approval, and therefore the bill itself will be on its way to Parliament. Chair, we have developed the PSP framework, the Public Sector Participation Framework for our space and transport. We, subsequent to this, we were not necessarily expected to produce a framework, a complete framework adopted by Cabinet, but we gave our chapter to form the chapter for government PSP framework to the National Treasury, who are consolidating, or who were then given the task to consolidate. Continuing with the outcome 6, Chair, we then have a responsibility to improve the national transport planning to develop long-term plans for transport. In this instance, Chair, we have finalized and have an approved national transport master plan. We also then were given the task to plan and improve total market share with a favorable split between road and rail. In this instance, we have finalized the National Road Freight Strategy that talks to moving the appropriate cargo from road to rail. And then we continue to preserve national, provincial, and local road infrastructure in the form of road infrastructure grant, provincial road maintenance grant. And then we deal with issues around the road traffic management. and improve public transport, and it is now working for public transport. Then, we also participate in quite a number of what we used to be called the Strategic Infrastructure Program Project, the SIPs, and then those are the ones that we participate in or are involved or lead. SIP 1, SIP 2, SIP 3, SIP 4, SIP 7, and SIP 17. And then, as we shall show, there are quite a number of initiatives that we have done and completed, and those that we are still busy doing. It are much like this now. We also contribute to what has come forward, which is comprehensive rural development and land reform. Chair, we improve or involve in the improvement of transport infrastructure and public transport in rural areas. We do IPTN for district municipalities, and we have an access to rural development plan and to improve rural infrastructure in rural areas. Slide 7, Chair, we also then do participate or take part or are responsible for outcome 10, which is protect and enhance environmental hazards and natural resources. We can, Chair, indicate that we have a green transport strategy that will be approved. That has gone through all the processes, have been approved by Cabinet for public consultations, have consolidated. We are going to Cabinet for final approval. Chair, slide 7 is just to for the committee to note that we have got a comprehensive document, like I indicated, of 18 recommendations, 16 recommendations made by the portfolio committee. And eight reportable areas that we responded to the issues raised by the portfolio committee. It is part of the attachment that we sent to the committee together with the presentation. Slide number 9, the vision and mission remain unchanged for now. We for obvious reasons look into the two as we develop the next 5-year strategic plan. But the vision being that transport the heartbeat of economic growth and social development, and the mission is the development of efficient integrated transport systems by creating a framework of sustainable policies, regulations, and implementable models to support government strategies for economic and social development. Guided by the following values, the chairperson, finance and equity, quality and affordable transport for all, and stimulating innovation, ensuring transparency, accountability, and monitoring of all operations, and also ensuring sustainability, financial affordability, and accessibility, and as well as upholding all the instruments of the principles. Slide number 11, chapter. We then, out of what government said we must do, developed what we call strategic-oriented goals. The first strategic goal is an efficient and integrated infrastructure network that serves as a catalyst for social and economic development. Strategic goal number 2, a transport center that is safe and secure. 3, improved rural access and mobility. 4, improved public transport services. 5, increased sector contribution to job creation. 6, increased sector contribution to environmental protection. Can we do all of this now and like transfer to all of this through the following programs, which basically sections of learning resources within the department. Program 1 being administration, 2 being ITP, integrated transport planning, program 3 being rail, 4 roads, 5 civil aviation, 6 maritime, and 7 public transport. 10, I have indicated that there are instances where some of the things, those are still reportable in the current strategic plan. You recall we did the revisions to the strategic plan last year, and we mentioned reasons in terms of why we had to deal with those changes. We pushed forward because of lengthy consultation on the national transport policy. We can safely say and assure the committee that this policy is now ready to go to the final approval. It is the review, not necessarily the total overhaul of the policy. And then the reference strategy, it has been achieved, so we have to remove it. It's no longer reportable. We report it when we report for the 5 years of the administration, but it has been done. And then the rural market access strategy, we also had to push through because it is basically a regional and it's included in matters like benchmarking of what the region, the large strategy is having and how we can proceed with it. The road tariff dissemination permit has been approved and therefore removed from the 1890, it's no longer the possible method 1890. White paper on rail policy also, I can say that it is still to be approved by cabinet and be based on target for the MTSF. The National Rail Strategy, this has not been achieved basically because it has to await the approval of the policy itself. And then the IREC, Interim Rail Economic Regulator, it was established and is functioning and it has developed framework. But we can safely say on this one we are moving on to STAR quite quickly, much more than earlier than NDCs. Airport Company of South Africa Amendment B has been achieved, and it is in Parliament as we speak. Some of those that you, the committee, will soon start to engage on. So will be the ATNS Amendment B. Chairperson, the development of the maritime transport policy has been achieved. We are now busy with the strategy which we hope to finalize in this financial year. And then the Merchant Shipping Act, Chair, this is the 1964 Act. I think it had 17 amendments. So the work was just too complex and more complex than we envisaged. We are supposed to have had the first draft in the last financial year. Unfortunately, the work was just a bit overwhelming in terms of us. The Integrated Public Transport Turnaround Plan has reached cabinet, and cabinet said this can be dealt with in the department, and therefore it's run for cabinet. Now, Jefferson, I'll come to the APP for 2018-19. I'll not go to the quotas. I'll just go to the things that we set ourselves we will do in the financial year. We had tabled the APP, that is what targets, annual targets together with the quarterly targets. So slide 20 talks to what I have just mentioned, that the targets, because the majority of them have now been achieved, and this financial year we'll be doing a ratio of them in total, 5 in administration, 1 ITP, 4 in rail, 6 in roads, 5 in civil aviation, 3 in maritime, and 1 public transport. This do not include almost all the other things that we do. These are the key that are reportable as part of the APP. But Chair, we will know that we do much, much more than this. And then the next slide, which is 21, slide 21, these are for program one, with the strategic objective being to promote equality and equity within the central group coordination of empowerment initiatives for previously disadvantaged groups. This is basically what we do in the GGYC sector. Chairperson, we monitor the implementation of a socio-economic empowerment program. Chair, if you go back to the BRRR, there is a recommendation where we are supposed to provide the report in regards to this. I didn't say we always look at me every quarter to report about this, but I think if it is something that we need to report to policy, we definitely don't have a problem because we have a duty to report to government on the work that we are doing in this space. We will in this coming year endeavor to conduct 10 community outreach programs on GGYC, including all of those based on the specific characteristics of a particular month, and then we will then target those days to deal with matters of GGYC. Slide number 22, still in administration program 1, to coordinate the function of human resource management and development is a part of GOT program. Again, this is an HRD framework. It's a reportable imperative or obligation to government. We will be reporting on it in terms of the bill. The things that we do. But we also then do train staff, issue buzzers, train internal staff, and report quarterly on the buzzers that we would have issued and how the people are progressing. We just have a challenge that wherein we insist that the people should therefore come to work for the department. You may find out that we do not necessarily have basic for them, and we then have to release them, chairperson. And the steering program two, the third one is to render financial administration and supply chain management. Finance is in program one, chairperson. One of the issues that we continue to do is to develop and monitor action plans to address audit findings, particularly as they relate to weaknesses in internal controls. Chair, the spreadsheet that we have given you, you would see that the findings by the AG for the department have reduced over years. It reduced drastically this last financial year. And then we have already addressed almost all the issues raised by the AG, bar for two errors, which we will report upon them down the slide. And then we now have a fully functional risk management unit. I know this is what you get asked quite often when we come here. We have a risk register with identified strategies and operational risks, and how we mitigate against those risks to ensure that the organization of the department continues. Now we are on program two, which is the ITP, and the strategic objective is to formulate and implement some form of planning, legislation, policies, and strategies. Chair, I've reported that we have the next map approved. We are now piloting about 10 of those projects that have been included in the next plan. We have the Parade Intermodal Transport Facility upgrade of Route R31, National Station Upgrade Program, and the National Road Safety. All of those are projects that are listed in the next plan with quite a number of them, and then we are profiling and ensuring that this can get off the ground as pilot to ensure and to see if NetMap is really implementable. And then the other issue is what that especially when we do that assessment on the white paper. Once approved, definitely Chairperson, which we hope will attend in the next one or two cabinets, we then are going to deal with the issues of its impact onto the people that are affected. That are supposed to implement it, obviously, but also those that are affected by it. Chairperson, the second strategic objective is to standardize economic regulation and enhance participation and inclusion of key stakeholders in mainstream sector. And for this year, we will process the STEP bill through to Cabinet and Parliament for promulgation. Just indicated that we went through the last round of public participation. This bill will be before yourselves this year. Obviously, it's quite a number of bills that will be before you. Whether you'll be able to deal with it is a matter that obviously the committee needs to look at. Just talking about legislation, Chairperson, I'm sure by the Office of the Minister, we will be writing to the committee to request prioritization of the bill that the committee in the last meeting indicated that they're going to spend time on this and therefore put it slightly at the back. The RAPS bill, for obvious reasons, that RAF is now seriously experiencing challenges with answers are in that scheme. Chairperson. The other one is the reduction of the CHG emissions and then conducting of public awareness in all non-processes. But basically, this will be to conscientizing people about the emission mitigation strategies or actions that we have put in the green transport conversation. Develop the intervention assets, improving rail transport operations. I'm now in program 3, which is rail. And then, Chair, once the rail policy has been approved, we will then start the issue of the rail, the national rail in earnest and take it through to Cabinet in this coming year. We'll also conduct research and propose access arrangements and pricing approaches to IREC. To capacitate is to deal with matters of tariff determination and related issues for economic regulation. And then develop an implementation plan for the chapter that I said was submitted to the National Treasurer on the TSP framework. And then update the National Railway Safety Bill and process the bill through to NetLab for that of Hyderabad. Parallel to the National Railway Bill will be the Railway Safety Bill that seeks to factor in some of the experiences that we would have experienced in the implementation of the current legislation on rail safety regulation. That's basically the legislation that manages the establishment and the functioning of the RSR. Program 4, Chairperson, which is roads, we will process through the road policy. Again, this is at the final stage. We basically are wrapping up the majority of the issues that we have set ourselves 5 years ago, Chairperson, when we started with the strategic plan that we are currently implementing. So one of them will be the road policy. We will have it by the end of this year. And then we will continue to monitor the Humber Songing. But of importance, centering in one, the issues that we have always been mentioning, strengthening monitoring and evaluation and ensuring value for money, but also following up on the money that we send to provinces to ensure that they are used for the for the purpose that has been made available for. And then the important work that we have now started, obviously at conceptual stage, is transforming this to deal with the issues that the minister has spoken about, revisiting the lives of Zimbabwe, but in much more improved, informed by the experiences of the previous implementation of such programs. So that is the one thing that we will be doing this year. And then finalize the ancestral development plan. So also in roles will deal with the engagement of stakeholders to as we deal with the fee that seeks to consolidate and rationalize the road entities. And then we will continue. We would know Chairperson, we just had the road safety strategy approved by cabinet. We'll continue to monitor implementation hereof. In light of some of the if you like activation, whether it is the Easter Road Safety Program or whether we're responding to our obligation in terms of the road safety in your end global road safety initiatives, and then dealing with matters of the road safety, youth road safety summits and related projects. And then again, we are finalizing or dealing with the anti-fraud and corruption strategy in STL, PTC, Vehicle Testing Center, Jefferson, and then we will definitely share this after we have dealt with them. Remember, in the last couple of years, as part of this MTSF, we have been taking statistics of these BTCs and DLTCs and then reporting on incidences of fraud. Now we are at a stage where we would want to come up with a strategy to deal with this matter once and for all. Civil aviation, I've spoken about the ATLS Amendment Bill, following immediately thereafter will be the approval of the regulation, therefore facilitate implementation of the amendment bill, if approved, of course. And then there's an air bill that seeks to combine the domestic and the international air services license and council into one. As part of the rationalization process, we are of the opinion that we will be ready to go to cabinet, not necessarily parliament, but to go to cabinet this year. And we will then approach the next parliament for once approved by cabinet. Processing the amendment bill that already has been with the parliament. Chair, you would recall this is one of those bills that we had, because they've got cosmetic changes, and we agreed with the committee that they can be disposed of quite quickly. But I think there is a message that is coming through very strongly that perhaps we need to prioritize the last bill, but it is before cabinet as we speak. Chairperson, we have the National Aviation Transformation Strategy. Part of what it is to do is then to ensure that the air training modules for those that want to enter the space. And we will be embarking on drafting a curriculum for civil aviation. According to the question as to whether do you have civil aviation for the state, in the majority of the spaces, you will get this most specific discipline post at postgraduate level. So we are trying to rectify and deal with that matter. Then one of the issues that we found is that in fact we must intervene much, much earlier. If it was going to be done our way, we would encourage even at the matric level kids to take math and science. Because if you don't have math and science, you may not necessarily enter into this space, not especially on air traffic navigation, piloting, being a pilot and so on and so on. So we will gradually go lower in terms of influencing what the kids must study at school. A Chairperson program, fifth maritime transport branch, the strategic objective is to develop and implement interventions that is aimed at improving maritime transport operations. We will have to deal with a part of application on the 9-point plan on operations by Peter Ocean's economy is to ensure reforms at the port, and we will then have to do an audit in the 7 commercial ports to find out how far they have gone in implementing operations particular initiatives. And then that bill, that I said, is very complex. It's a very old bill. It has been amended many times, and it needs total overhauling. The merchant shipping legislation, we will be in a position to take it through to cabinet this financial year 18-19. It will be one of those that will not be attended to by the current parliament, but obviously we will be ready for finalization in the first year of the parliament. Develop an implementation plan for the GT content and communication of students in preparation for the 2020 Maritime Day, the Parliament Day. We are hosting this important event in the Maritime Space in 2020. We have been given permission by Parliament to do this. We have done well with some kinds of references where several community people are working. We have brought an action plan that we want Cabinet to approve quite soon so that we deal with the action in it. It is more, it is something that is held in each country. It's one of them, the space where we showcase what we can do and our little space as a maritime country, having invited our counterparts or fellow council members within the IMO council and any other person who is interested in maritime. So it will be a huge thing, not in the scale of your Commonwealth Games or Olympics or any other thing, but it will not be a small thing. That is why we have started planning 2 years ago. Yes, we started planning for this day 2 years ago, and it's only happening in 2020. Chairperson, public transport, this is the last program. We aim to develop and implement policies and strategies aimed at improving provision of quality public transport infrastructure and services in rural areas. Chairperson, we continue to do this and monitor this IPT and develop them in district municipalities. Basically, more of your network-based ITPs in the district municipalities. We have done 2, we are busy with 2, we will continue with Bembe and Kangara in this coming financial year. And then, conduct cost calculations on the new TRP equipment allowance and develop requirements for inclusion of scholar transport and cross-border in the TRP. Chairperson, I'd like to spend a minute or 2 on this one. Chairperson, the Minister has indicated that the 6th recap program is not ending. What had ended in March 31 was the contract and the National Treasurer allowed us to proceed because we were delayed by cabinet processes. Gave us a period not more than 6 months to come up with the review. Chair, we finalized this review a year ago, and we discussed it with the role players, and they have made input. The problem that we are coming up with in the new approach, Chairperson, includes almost all of those issues that are in the entry-level key document of 1996. Basically, and this is why we have taken so much time, because I think it is a first for most of us, but it is something that we would want to deal with. When we were putting out the list, we were advised to call for proposals. So anyone who can show cause that the one, they will take the TRP beyond what we know as TRP, that's the payment of scraping allowance. How they deal with issues of value chain down the value chain itself. We'll obviously stand a good chance to be our partner going forward. We also are creating a greater involvement for the taxi industry in terms of ownership of the process. It was 70-30, we are increasing the participation by the taxi industry, meaning then that the technical or strategic partner would hold there and less and be compliant to technical assistance. Chairman, then we're looking at, as a first thing, the issue of assisting the taxi industry with in terms of financial services, with the for better lack of a better phrase, the creation of a cooperative bank. One of the issues that made the taxi industry to block the highways was that they are being ripped off by the banks and other financial institutions. And the questions we asked them was that, do you really need banks? Or do banks need you? Hence this thing. We would recall a year ago we finalized the corporate strategy in the taxi business or taxi process. Now we are implementing that. We took them through to benchmark in the countries that this is being practiced. We now want the new taxi recap to focus on those initiatives. It is true that they were there, Jefferson. What we need to find out is a better mechanism of how we separate the non-financial side of the taxi process from the financial side of the taxi process. What really made this thing to collapse was that, one, you had a situation where your elected leaders were then automatically appointed as directors of cooperatives. And then when they are then elected out of office, they then say, I bangabuthatha lawo president babo mina ngiphethe udirectorship because they were registered as SARO. So we want to de-link the two, the business side as well as the political side, the elective side. So we want taxi industry to be democratic going forward, but the business side to be run along business lines supporting the taxi industry. Look, Chair, we don't say we've got a miracle tool to deal with those who would want all the assistance that we can get to be able to deal with this matter. But that is the only way where it can survive, because the question still stands. If they complain that they are being ripped off by the financial services service providers, Do they need banks or do banks need them? That's the most important question. And I think it is the latter. The banks need them more. In fact, if they can form their own bank, they can charge 2% interest and still make profit. There are many. We're talking chairperson, 307,000 taxes. 307,000 taxes in this country. Now, if all of them were to support their own financial services provider, there's definitely one, that we are concerned affordable prices, but also still make sure that the whatever is called a cooperative or a business still prosper and makes profit. A lot of people may not like this because you see there are those that would delay us doing this because they would want the status quo to be maintained. But I don't think that we can afford any other margin blockage of highways because these people are being charged 26% interest. Where I'm sitting, they can do with 2% interest and still make profit because they've got the numbers. Now, if they are a risk, a credit risk to the banks, I doubt if there will be a risk to their own corporate system. Chair, the other strategic objective is to still deal with this issue of public transport networks, where we are considering, as we have said, now we are putting into place measures to ensure that we put a differentiated system in place once and for all. BRTs cannot be all over the country, even where the numbers do not support BRTs. Chair, I always say, and I will repeat it, Hamashashane, they don't want a BRT. They want a quality bus that will take them from Hamashashane to Bulukwane and back. Marawa is not a BRT. That's what I mean about the differentiated system. You will have your key major cities and metros that they will still have to deal with some form of, but also in a skilled manner. I mean, in a downscaled manner, not in the way that we see it, even in your major cities. This is South Africa, you don't have dense corridors that justifies a BRT. But, Chair, we helped you quite well. In fact, when we started this thing, the cities may not tell you. We asked them, what is the difference between Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, and Joburg? From a transport point of view, because transport, for it to be seamless, it has to go beyond borders. The trips of the people working at the airport, so just as an example, 70% of those people working at the airport don't stay in and around Ekurhuleni. They stay outside. They stay in Johannesburg and they stay in Pretoria. Now, why would you want to have a different system for Ekurhuleni, for Joburg and for Pretoria? Worse still, the buses in Joburg are red and blue, maybe blue. Inside the, what is that color? Like purple. Mm-hmm. In Ekurhuleni, I think it's golden green. So even that only, that shows misalignment. But if you were to do things uniformly, you would save quite a lot of money. Transport does not know or recognize the boundaries as we know them, the municipal boundaries. You can move from Vembe and end up in Northern Cape, Kimberley, so Clyde municipality. You would have passed a lot of municipalities in one vehicle. That is what I'm trying to say. I'm not for once meaning that you wish to have a single transport system for the entire country. But I'm saying that a few municipalities can be grouped together and work in unison. We can cut a lot of costs. Of course, there is this thing we call the Transport Appeals Tribunal It has been there and in practice for quite some time. Now, based on our implementation of this piece of legislation, we definitely want to factor in some changes. I really want to come into the space to deal with the people who want to appeal against the decisions of the rail sector regulator. Chairperson, in terms of risk management, how we deal with matters of risk, obviously an oversight role is played by the Executive Council, that is your head of branches, and then across the branches we have the Risk Management Committee, and then you have another level of assurance being that of the Audit Committee to ensure that these risks are mitigated and put measures in place to deal with them. And then in the department we have the Risk Directorate and the Internal Audit Unit. These are slide 37 is the summary of our risk. We have deliberately pitched all of them as high exposure risk because we want to deal with them. Besides the inherent risk and the residual risk here for obviously on the high part here for 2%. Yeah, but it looks so late, but what it means is that these are the things that you need to pay attention on if you are to take this issue of risk very seriously. And that is just a split on slides 38 comparatively inherent versus residual risk. And then the categorization of risk, Chair, the majority of them are matters of compliance in terms of the applicable legislation. And then you have issues, financial, including supply chain and related issues. You have governance issues, including oversight over entities. And then you have the disaster recovery, basically on assistance that they able to, if disaster can strike, we be able to operate without major disturbances. Page 47 is just how then this risk relates to the our entities. Obviously, the issues of interoperability, the financial sustainability of entities. This is the visit by the minister, really an eye open in terms of some of the financial health of this entity. And then you then have non-compliance with legislation. And then you have IT related also in cyber security. And then adequate mechanisms to deal with interruptions should there be a disaster. And so on, chapter 7. 42 is what I said earlier on as the action plan to deal with the AG findings. We have a detail in terms of what the issues were and how far we have gone in terms of addressing them in the spreadsheet. But in summary, Chair, we had 19 incidences, and then we are having two areas in HR. I mean, three areas in HR that remain partially resolved. It is more the issues of PMGS, performance management, for staff. So it's those that who have not built in performance algorithms for one reason or the other. But all the other areas have been addressed. Obviously, this will remain yellow like this because as much as you can discipline people and tell them to trust and give them reminders, do workshops and train them, there will always be one or two who do not submit on time. So it basically talks to those areas in performance management and in particular submission of performance agreement by members of the staff. The challenges, refunding remain our challenge. And Chairperson, The work that we do as national, which I will talk to you about the budget, the work that we do is 99% or 98%, I don't know how many percent we are now, some experts in those. We do that work through our entities and provinces. We don't do that directly as the national department. We control the press, but what we do, we get the money from treasury, put it onto the system, we press enter, and it goes to the entities and the provinces. What is important there is our monitoring and oversight system needs to be very, very sharp, because 99% of the money that we have as our budget is transferred. So we therefore then, even as we promised that we will deal with potholes across the country, dependent on provinces to do that work for us. Slide 44 is the start of the financial information. And for obvious reasons, we started with the health, financial health of public entities. And Lizalo will then take the committee through chapter 5.
Members of the committee, colleagues. Chair, this morning I learned that I'm habitually keep my card in my bag, and when I change my bag, because the queue was too long. So apologies for arriving late. Mine is to go through the issues around finances. Initially, I think the first thing is to look at issues around public entities. In an area of focus, as the minister spoke about, in an area of focus.
The minister requested that once the FTDG finishes to make a presentation, you must quickly come and join him because he's not quite conversant with some of the issues. In the press conference, and I will be releasing him. The team will remain talking to us. He will come back within 30 minutes. Agreed. 30 minutes, that's what we're giving you. Mr. Sarin can continue.
Yes.
Not more than 30 minutes. Not more than 30 minutes.
No, the capable men and women who will start the question to answer that.
Why don't you come to Java?
I didn't think I could.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. We look at the liquidity ratios of things to assess the liquidity and see whether they are actually financially sustainable. The chair would remember that in part of the BRR, we were asked how we're going to ensure the sustainability of these entities going forward. On a quarterly basis, that's what we do. We look at the quarterly report that they give to us and look at the solvency ratio. And we look at whether they are likely to be in trouble or not. If you look at, for instance, RAF, which is number 4 on the list, you see that this is an entity in trouble with a solvency ratio of 0.05. Very clearly, there is a big problem with RAF. It has got an accumulated deficit of 205 billion. Now, for it to be liquid or for it to be above what I always say the going concern, we need to capitalize it to the value of about 205 billion. So it tells you the problem that we have in that regard. You will see that the solvency ratio of PRASA is sitting at around 9.9. It's also an entity that has issues of solvency a bit, but much more. You look at the current ratio, you see that if we take all the assets and liabilities, they are fairly doing well for the capital amount that they have. So we do look at that. We just wanted to clarify that issue to the committee that we do look at those issues of sustainability. We have actually went to the extent of developing what we call sustainable financial models for all the entities. We have just completed one for SAMHSA. We have consulted with industry. The next one that we are prioritizing is the RFR, because they also came to us. Some of the revenue that they rely on for their budget is not available revenue, and at times you find that when they don't collect that revenue, then suddenly they're in financial trouble. So we want them to deal with more sustainable models of funding all these entities, especially regulators. We have entities that have got that are cash flush. Those entities are AXA and ATLS. Coincidentally, all of them are Schedule 2, as it were. All of them have the ability to grow. I mean, if you look at ATLS, the solvency ratio of 9.28, quite high. In this regard, we are talking about a dividend policy that we are developing within the department to ensure that some of this cash will squeeze out to fund other areas, whether in the transport portfolio or to cover certain aspects of the national revenue fund. The next one here is the budget of the next financial year 2018-19. We have started even 2014-15, breaking down into different programs that we have, seven of them, as you were. Majority of this amount goes to road transport at 27 billion. And what the chair would see, and members, is that we've got a flat budget this year. The adjusted budget for 2018 was sitting at 59.7. The budget for 2018-19 is 59.7. If you look at 2014-15, we had 49. We grew by about 4 billion to 53. We grew about by 3 billion to 56. And we grew about 3 billion to 59. And then we are flat. That tells you it's years of fiscal consolidation as you name it in public finance. Money has been cut to fund the budget deficit that we have in the total. The total expenditure is at least our average annual increase of 6.3% over the medium term, from 59.8 to about 59.6 billion. The next slide is just that budget slides up into what we call economic classification. You see that majority of our budget goes to transfer. 58.5 billion will go to transfer. We've got business savings of about 700 million and compensation of employees of about 490 million. And there is a small amount there that goes to general equipment and the direct charge of foreign international fees that we do pay of about 10 million. That gives us all 59.8 billion budget. The next slide just gives you a slight thing of compensation of the employees on the baseline. It has been kept at 496.7 in 2018-19. going to go about 534 million in 2021, reflecting which is an average of 10.1% over the medium term. This chair is the result of those engagements that we have had with the National Treasury. You remember that we came to the committee, we must thank the committee for the support. When we said that we have got posts that we could not fill because although we had them on the establishment, they were not funded. So there is that funding that is coming into the medium term, which we wholly appreciate. And I think in line with the priority of the minister to fill the post, especially the GPT member. The next slide just gives you the slide of transfer to subsidies. One would see that the majority of the amounts that we have, 18.7 billion there, of course, 2018 officer. The next bit goes 15.6 billion goes to South Africa National Institute Fund. And next slide for you. So we have mentioned a grant of 11 billion. PTOG, which is Public Transport Operation Grant, of 5.9 billion. This is what we call transport. PTNG, which is Public Transport Network Grant, that used to fund the CRT, 6.1 billion. So chair and members will see that majority of this amount has been transferred to the agencies. Smaller amounts, 194 million to the CDC, about 107 million goes to the rural roads asset management grant that we give to municipalities to assist them with rural roads in the nation. So those are the but what we also need to show is the rail safety regulator sitting at about 55 in this year, around 63 in the outlying year. We have got about 49, but that 49 is going to increase because what we did in the adjustment budget towards the end of the financial year. So we gave them about 24.8 million, which was a bailout, because they could not pay salaries and they could not pay suppliers because they ran out of money. So the RFR, that's why we have prioritized the sort of capacity to fund going forward to ensure that we can hold them to account. And there will be also issues that the National Treasury has raised around consequent money on some of the entities as a result of what they have done in regard to the financial management. The next one is the smaller transfers and subsidies. You see that the biggest one goes to taxi scrapping. In the next year, it's 411. This grant the state to take on the state to perform, but more of the money you see that you move out of it to other areas in the transport business, mainly because people do not bring their taxi scrapping because most of them complain about the allowance that is granted. It's better, they feel that it's better to keep an old car and bring it in to be crushed on the basis that what they get is not enough to cover what they need to have. So it's an area that we are looking at. I think the GE has talked to it and in the figure part of the NWT and what we need to do in that regard. We do fund the South African National Taxi Council, which is Santago, to the value of about 22 million, and we do pay our international organizations about 18 million, the Knights of Ankeo, and the others that are in the IMO and others. I think that's the end of the presentation on the finances and also the role of the NCP. We can take the questions, including the ones that you might want to take when we come to the next. I'm sure we can attend some of the sessions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And to all honorable members, there we go. Earlier, initially, we had put a 3-minute rule. Probably we need to apply that. 3-minute rule. Maybe we don't need preambles on a number of the questions that we need to ask, but we just go straight to the point. Can I start with Honorable De Freitas at the extreme and come this way?
Talks about the single transport and our regulator, which we've been getting on for a long time, you know, just time frame and that forces us. Because it's been on page 4, it talks about moving rail freight from road to rail. It just talks about transit, the issue there, and the usage of rail and so forth, and the lease of tracks and so forth. And also, so just tell us more about the plans in this regard. It's not just a matter of just saying what's going to happen. There's a lot more detail that's going to happen. So if they compromise the detail, I appreciate some of the screen time. On page 14, it talks about a whole lot of different strategies. If we could just have copies of these to understand these are not the installation, so we don't get all this information necessarily. And the reason I'm asking is because we keep on hearing about how a strategy is implemented and it all happens on paper, but you don't see it in practice. So I think we should be doing more about that. And also where it talks about I see on page 16 is an important page, and there's a whole lot of a list of different facts which the fourth gentleman has been seen and it's news to us, the Airports Company Act and so forth, and all that. It'd be interesting to find what stage these are, and I suspect may not even happen in this parliament. These things only at certain stages, because then we have next year, presumably the next year. The president spoke about on page 22, spoke about how bursaries are given. And then in the end, these people can't be utilized in departments because he said there's no space for them. I'm quoting it. I want to understand how is it that we then supply groceries anyway, and then these people, we don't get the benefit of it. Surely there's a plan in advance, and you know in advance that graduate will eventually work for the department. And at the same time, you have a long organigram of all these people acting positions or unfilled positions. I'm trying to understand if there's a disconnect here, unless I misunderstood what you were saying. Then on page 31, I'm trying to understand, it talks about a draft curriculum of civil aviation. I'm trying to understand what that is. There's an existing curriculum that exists. So what can be a difference to this curriculum? And what the East Coast. The scrapping allowance, what I'm making in this document, with taxes, the whole system is created in such a way that it encourages unroadworthy minibus taxis to stay on the road. It has had that unintended consequence. And I'd like to hear more about what's being done to stop the system. Because all that's happening is that more and more unroadworthy vehicles stay on the road, and as they get older and older, become more unroadworthy. So I'm very nervous about how money is being allocated to those kids. It's creating more and more carnage on our roads. Chair, just got three more.
My 3 minutes is up.
Can I ask for two more questions?
Two more questions. Thank you
so much, Chair. Thank you for indulging. I want to understand, and on page 44, it talks about these ratios, and I want to understand how they're calculated and what they really mean. Because it sounds all very clever on paper, but nobody really knows what they're talking about. So I'd like to know about that. And that's why I'm particularly about it. My last question to you is, sorry, I think I've covered it, and that was the tax extraction. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Cabinet.
Thank you. Not yet. My in the issues of the civil aviation, I see some contradictory presentation here. In the ACP, it talks about these amendments of the Act. It says they are not achieved. But here in their presentation, it says it's achieved. So I want to know which is which effect, because it talks about these two APVs, ATLS and the Airport Company Act, that is achieved in the presentation. But in the APV, it says not achieved. So at least we can be able to get targets, because we mustn't be misled as well here. But the other issue here is that in relation to the staff that doesn't sign their performance agreement, I guess they are in breach of their own employment contract in terms of the Public Service Act that they must be notified. One, so in terms of what is the department doing about it, what are they going to do? But the other thing, Chair, I've just noticed that we've got so many bills that they're just throwing forward. I'm having a challenge that all these legislations are just thrown to Parliament, and you must remember that these legislations, once they take too long, we're not going to be able to meet them. We're going to rise soon as Parliament, and in terms of priorities, we don't know what's going to happen, because I don't think they're going to be able to reach, to be engaged with, and to be properly dealt with. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pepo.
Thanks, Chair. I'm worried that both the ministers are talking up now, but I've just remembered something, Chair, about the third year that is happening in my constituency, the Eastern Cape. Amtata in particular, where there is a shutdown by the cable industry. There's something happening there, very strange, because there is where the university is, the hospital, whatever that is there, Tata Airport. There's closure of routes there, there's fight between two rival taxi associations. 45 plus people have died already. I'm wondering, because it's a safety issue also, but now it involves transport, because buses have been introduced now, that's why there's this shutdown now. So there's that needs to be taken care of. The Minister of Safety and Security is there, is the one who closed the route. But I'm worried if the Minister of Transport is not in that space, because there are transport challenges now. So, Chair, in the presentation it was said 99% of the budget is transferred to entities. I'm worried when there are entities that cannot account they must do oversight over the entity such that there is no one entity that is not accountable back. It is in the APP that they are to monitor the financial performance. I am stressing the fact that they must also monitor service delivery performance. Those entities are there also for the service delivery. Chair, I am also wanting to bring to the attention of the department where the Department of Education just closes a school because of numbers, without informing the Department of Transport where the scholar transport resides in some provinces. Because just in the middle of the year, a school is closed, then there's a crisis of scholar transport, which results in scholars traveling more distance, like in my constituency there. Chair, there is somewhere where the department is applying brakes to the issuing of operating licenses, and the illegal operators are now punished on the road. Now, are we monopolizing the area? Why don't we do them concurrently? If you open this, then you apply this. Also, to the issue of for civil aviation, is it correct that we lower? I did not speak that time when the minister, I think I'm on that time check.
No.
Chair, is it correct that we lower the standards, or must we implement a transformation? Is
the
that about?
The expired, Honorable Mutsinga.
Thank you, Chair. One specific question that speaks on outcome 6 on efficient and competitive and responsive economic infrastructure. Very commendable points. There are 7 bullet points. And I struggle to find detail on that in the annual report. It should be around page 45, 48. I searched everywhere, but I cannot find any more detail on those 7 points that I'm rather interested to get more of that. Then, Chair, in terms of the role of the department in general, acknowledging that we are dealing with a strategic plan and APPs, and alignment of these strategic plans and annual performance plans to operations, which is my concern in particular, because there are a couple of repeat observations that I want to give examples of. The first example would be the BRT, where since 2005 till 2017, in other words, in the 12-year period, we've seen the department transfer over 40 billion rands to 13 cities. And in some cases, we have a minus or a less competency of an expenditure ability of less than 50%. However, we remain financing, we remain keeping on with grants, so my query in that respect is, what is the criteria for keeping on funding, whereas there might be a capacity support needed and not funding at that stage? The next example is PRASA in terms of the financial annual report, which has been outstanding since the 1st of September, and the department was well aware of this, yet we only got firm detail of reasons why these reports are still outstanding on the 27th of February this year. The next example is Sunroll, where CUPS is the only shareholder, yet we maintain to have a program of empowering local capacity and local jobs, whereas we have a foreign Austrian company having 100% of the shareholding of the administrative functioning of Sunroll. There's also irregular expenditure examples, and AXA in particular, who did not render their financial statements in accordance to financial reporting frameworks. Now, in all of these examples, the department was there. So therefore, I would like to see, and I would like to ask, in what way are the strategic plans for the future covering these couple of examples, because in general the belt needs to be tightened on financial discipline. So where are the strategic financial objectives that would tighten these financial disciplines. In studying the Auditor General reports, the general remarks are that there was a slow response and a lack of effective controls. So therefore, I would want to see management compliance checklist as an objective in strategic goal. Consequent management procedures and effective steps to prevent unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless wasteful expenditure.
Your time has expired.
I just finished. Thank you, sir.
Honorable
Bandy? Yes, I am the proponent of tonight. Let me start. First, Chairperson, I'd like to comment on the presentation. But nevertheless, let me start with this presentation in key intervention in terms of administration. You said, you spoke about the issue of empowerment of initiative of previous disadvantaged groups, women, persons with disabilities, and children. And then we are having targets that one way, wound, etc., etc. But we never hear anything in terms of narrowing the basic things you're talking about. What is the status quo? And then again, you see, Chairperson, I was a little bit concerned about the department's performance plan in terms of the television and strategic plan about the issues which were never achieved. Yes, I agree with those ones which I referred to cabinet because they are above their goals. But with the other ones which are there in their scope, I'm not yet convinced. I'll put an example. The issue of the development of the regional transport marketing access strategy, of which my worry, Chairperson, there will be a contradiction towards the state of the nation addressed by the President on the 16th February, whereby some of these things are linked directly with this, to about the issue of further stimulation of manufacturing with the facilitation of programs to which products like railway, rolling stocks, and I'm citing an example, but it must link. You mustn't have a contradiction whereby the President will talk about this language from your own APP, but at the end there are contradictions you are unable to deliver. And then also the issue of the RAF, which you raised in terms of Baba Ifinet, the issue of RAF and FRR and ATM. Let me put an example which is what they need, Chairperson. In terms of their own arrangement, that there was a hike of 52 cents per liter increase in the levies of fuel, and it was divided into two. 22 cents per liter for general levy, 80 cents per liter increase for road accident fund, but still there are problems. And my worry is that we have already proposed drafts. Then with the money which has increased, is it going to solve the problem or is it going to remain the status quo as this was seen with the RAF? Because already we facultated you and then we gave you money. What is happening? Because the picture is very, very concerning. And then also, Chief.
Your time is up.
Not a warning.
Oh, I can do 30 seconds warning. But your time is up.
Yes, ma'am.
Quick.
Chairperson, the issue of the AXA and RAP and BRASA and SAMSA concerning regarding the filling of board vacancy due to the infighting and due to the group CEO and other staff appointments. What do you do? Because you have already identified the problem that the thousand will block is this and this and this and this. And then also...
No.
Thank you.
One, 45 seconds. Almost another minute. Honorable Sherembe.
Thank you, Chairperson, for stopping him. He was the one who proposed that. Chairperson, I'm just looking to the issue of the South Organism, where you think there are a number of vacant positions to be filled. Now, if one looks at the staff establishment, it's where, I mean, the mandate of the department can be implemented. Now, I'm seeing that the department is all about the training that will be given, I mean, to the staff internally or externally. Now, looking to the issue of once the staff is well trained, we'll look for better opportunities. Once they have been trained by the department, what systems do we have or any contract or agreement that is reached before a battery is given to an employee to ensure that once the staff has been trained is able to plan back to the department? Then two, now hearing about the issue of the Durban Free State housing and industrial corridor, I don't know how can you explain or convince me to the issue of the community involvement, especially in the areas that are in the vicinity of the N3. We have the Interbars, the township, we have also the Hellsmith of the town, where the passing of these motor vehicles, the people in that area are benefiting. So now what's going to happen now with the shift of that corridor, say passing in front, in Hellsmith, but we'll be now getting away from the people. How are you going to convince the people about their jobs? Because the more traffic of the vehicles in the entry benefits the number of people in Durban Township, including the people from Freddy Chaba who are traveling comes to Hellsmith. What can we have, say I am an MP, say if I'm asked by the member, say, okay, we know that if your portfolio is proposing the issue of that corridor, what's going to happen with their jobs, with the local business people in that effort? Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are the very first one who left
50 seconds. Thank you. I am given an equivalent issue. I'm always in the issue meeting. I've been nine years ago. But last year, I can't have a vision. The good slot number 11. Now, Kuluma Konan is saved.
Yilapho okufa khona abantu kakhulu bedingwa amabhasi. Ngikhule le ndawo sifuna ukwazi ukuthi why le ndawo yagcina isibiza ngesikhihlaneni. Kuyakwabesiwa namanje. Khona into engikhangizo yisho bhata akufanele losibuyele emuva kodwa kukhona lati ekuthiwa khona funa ukuyobheka ukuthi kuqala bekwenzakale manje kunjani. Yabona leya mgwaqo eminingi ligcina ukusetshenzwa. Yes, now we want to put my We manage the bank,
izohlangana nenye ivelithi idingeka akhonisho lezi zinsimba bona ezifana lezi emaqeleni ngaziko kodwa labantu bayayazithelela izinto zabo. Okunye okungikhathazanzi yile nto yokuthi yabantu bakithi abathwele kanzima yokuthi izinkontileka uyabona maziya emakhaya awekho labantu okuthiwa ngamonitors laba bazobheka ukuthi le contract inikeziwe ugovernment imali ukuthi iyosebenza lakhaya emgwaqo. Then ukuthi if mangabe iletha lezi ngqumbi zey'nhlabathi ezoyibeka emgwaqweni lezo ngqumbi izofika isebenze manje le nhlabathi iphele ukuze kwenze lo muntu ozokhamula ebusuku ezephisile afika ayithele mhlawumbe ahlangane leyo badlinyele. Le nto yenzekile lapha ngaphansi kwenkosi uqwabe la eceleni komuzi wakhe kwaginqa ibhasi okwesibili kwaginqela indoda yashiya umndeni wayo ithele amazwi eyisebenzela ugovernment. Le ndawo indani kulalabantu and ngokwami ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi why ngempela abantu basemakhaya bengacatshangelwa nakhona laphila endaweni zethu thina abantu abamnyama sinenkinga lapho ngiyazi nalo-national kodwa siyakhala kuhlala i-province ayifuni nhlobo kwenza umsebenzi wami. Siyabona mina ngiyayazi la nto mina ngisebenzela kakhulu phansi if kuzoba nenhlabathi ezofaka emgwaqweni funa kwenziwe sure ukuthi leyo nhlabathi izosetshenzwa yonke injani iphele or sabe lesebizwa ngokuthi i-danger case kodwa lapha emakhaya bakwenza. Okunye bezobe sengigcina ngakho yilokhu-ke kwemfuyo yingakho ngihambahambe kuye ngiyela emuva kuqala bekuthiwa imfuyo ma ufuyile yenza sure ukuthi imfuyo yakho kwenze njani uyayigada ngoba le mfuyo yakho isihamba noma ikanjani izobulala abantu stili kuthathe lohulumeni okhona
isikhathi siphelile.
Okay kodwa kuhlalo imfuyo uthokisa abantu bayibophe eduze kwendlela uthi uyahamba ngemoto zeyicaluzele ezinyenzi la. Nomunye umthetho ofuna nokuqinisa ukuthi umasipala namakhansela khe bebuyeleni laphayani uku-avoda lezi ngozi ekhona niye kule nto sitshela ngokuphepha komphakathi okungekho abantu bakithi abaphephile mangathatha lamaaasalile lapa
isikhathi sakho siphelile
angikhona lawa asalile lapha kumkhonyana wami.
Thank you very much. If you can please
give us a collaboration. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm checking it's I'm on slide 11. It's a pretty interesting because some of the things that are being said here, they sound very melodic to the ear, but in reality it's more like paying lip service because rural communities are still struggling when it comes to safety and road infrastructure. And to the thing, because of people are dying because there isn't road servicing that should take place. For example, you have areas like Wakabe where the bus overturns and because of people dying. It's just it things like that that I'm basically referring to. So in an area called Kwamboti, apparently there's a road called Jim in what Dube leading to Umboti. So this road is old and
I like a Jim too.
This road is dilapidated and it's frequently used by taxis and buses, and it has become notorious because a lot of people are dying and I hope that someone will do something about it. And in some instances, when it comes to independent contractors, these independent contractors, after working, they cannot leave piles and piles of sand in the public road, and nobody is following up to see if basically they're doing what they're supposed to do. And over and above that, they don't even provide signage to say that or to indicate that there is construction underway. Chairperson, the government of today should learn from the old government, which usually called GG, because the roads, the last time the roads were serviced in an area called Pishanin, it was when the old government serviced that road, and that road has become notorious. So basically, we hope that
thank you very much, Honorable Father. Makaula, yeah, what is this?
bakula nayo makhawula manje sifuna ukusandile ukunjene ukuphilana. On the slide there, the one that was talking about the outreach program, there were months that were attached to the trial. I think it's a good one, and the whole issue of the itself and the service process, whether there's an opportunity of the department and the minister. I just want to check, Chairperson, what is the role of the commission? I think we need to look at a situation where maybe the chair should also play some kind of a role. We've got a tripartite relationship with the department, minister, and the committee, portfolio committee. So when we are out on the progress and the legitimacy, I think there must be an element of a committee, whether it's the chair or the one that is delegated by maybe the chair, to be part of those programs. The other one, Chairperson, is the one that you have raised very strongly. And I think maybe we need a discussion, a very critical discussion on this one. The economic empowerment of the taxi industry. I think they don't understand the power they have in their hands, you know, economically. And I think we need to have a program or maybe an endeavor of some kind where we will meet with them through the department and then have a discussion. You know, this value chain thing we're talking about, you know, it's something that is going to empower them and make them to be self-sufficient and self-sustainable financially. And I think we need to have that session where we really capacitate them in making sure that they understand this is the power, the economic power that they have. But the buying power is a very powerful power that you can have as an industry. But if people are not aware, they don't know how to use it, then it's not benefiting anyone. Chair, the last one is the issue of on slide 49, there's the issue of lead pay and donations. I just want to check what donations are those ones. Are we allowed as a government entities to give donations? I think I need to find out what donations are those ones.
Thank you very much. You still have 30 seconds. Thank you very much. I think for me, that's one question. Looking at the budget as it is it possible, I know you may not be having the answer now, but as a portfolio committee, you need to have that answer. Can you be able to indicate from every sector, state-owned entity yourself, the amount, not percentage, the amount of money that goes to women and youth in this project that you are executing? It is very, very important because we can't talk about transformation and it becomes just a top thing, but it is not there in action. I'm not expecting an answer now, but I want the answer in monetary value. How much are we talking about that goes to women and youth? I'm going to give you 30 minutes to respond to the questions that have been asked. Your entire team will be able to deal with the whole questions as have been asked by honorable members. Those that you think they need extensive elaboration, kindly indicate so that you can be able to write back to the portfolio committee those responses. And that they will tell you your chief. 30 minutes.
Thank you very much, thanks to honorable members. We will attempt to answer some of the questions, some more specifically that we can answer now, give an answer.
we will then respond in writing back to the committee to clarify these issues. So my colleagues will help where I've not covered. I don't even want to count the main number of questions. Thank you very much. The target reduced and that achieved are replaced by old ones. Indeed we do. Yes, we can add more targets. And the reason is because we have got what we call the medium, sorry, the MTSF, which is a strategic framework that takes 5 years. That gives you what needs to be done. So those outcomes are based on that. So at the beginning, we'll do our 5 years in terms of MTSF, which is for the whole government, and then our contributions are done. That's why you see the other ones are achieved, the other ones are not achieved. And the other ones that are achieved, we then remove them out of the MTSF target. That's what the teaching meant. The issue around there, it should be approved by cabinet. It has been submitted there. The bill will then come to the committee. The intention was that by the end of this administration, which is next year by 2019, that will be done. Does not look likely, and our view is that it's going to happen somewhere between 19-20 financial year by the end of that. A road to rail, the plans, and talking about Transnet in particular. This is an area that we are engaging. We are developing a policy, a road policy. What members and the chair would remember is that the road sector has been deregulated. But deregulated after the Division Commission in 1989. We don't know why it was even used, but the view was that the aim was to take government out of that space. What has resulted in that is that the road sector is not paying for its fair share of the damage it's causing. The chair talked about this overloading that happens and all that. So certain things like your timber and all those are not allowed to be on our roads. And we want to go back to that. We want to go back and re-regulate the road environment to ensure that at least to the extent that they move those that freight, it is paid for and it's in line with that. But it's something that we're working together with Transnet on it to make sure that if, when we say things about moving on the road, Transnet must be ready with a plan to take over that, and it's an area that we are working on. We are not moving with the traction that we require, but we will give more detailed data as well as to how Transnet deals with that on their side. Slide 14, the different strategies and not legislation. We are willing to give those strategies, honorable members, to get. So that you can monitor whether we are actually doing that in practice. Slide 16, the list of different acts and amendment bills, they are there. Most of them are amendment bills that are still with cabinet, but all of them, my understanding is that they've been discussed with the parliament and some of them are coming. As the DG has said, the minister is of the view that some of those must be held back and RAFs must be put forward as a matter that must deal with agency on. Page 22, the budget is given no space for them, no benefits, unfilled positions. The difficulty with this is that most of these unfilled positions are sitting at the top. So you will find that it's senior management, which is directors, chief directors, and DDGs. What you then see is that if you get someone who is a bazaar holder, will come in and must come in at a lower level. If
can't be at a high level. So that's a difficult thing. It's very difficult with the Public Service Act to actually go and say to someone who has got boundaries of the federal rules to hold, because for instance, you have got people that are interns that we have hired as well, so we must have a they may not be protected. Thank you. Yeah. So that's a difficult thing that we are faced with, but it's something that it's not only a local issue that we are also dealing with. Our idea is that we train also for the industry and not necessarily for us, and therefore in areas where we do ask entities to go and talk to people that we explain to them. Slide 81. The draft curriculum on civil aviation, what is the difference in this regard? Well, the issue is about methods, right? What we have discovered is that initially our people are not even exposed to the aviation sector. The reality is that 90% of black people have never been on a plane. More than 60% have never been in an airport. The reality is that they don't understand the opportunities that are there, which is one aspect. But sometimes they understand this after the fact, which is after they've passed the trip and learned. So we are doing this. The very same thing is in the area of technology. One would remember that technology was never a subject that was offered in the trip. Now it's the opportunity, and that's the area that we want to go into to make sure that civilization at a certain level at least is allowed for people to go into that area in the street, and it must become part of the curriculum. We're working together with the education on that. Issues around the sleeping allowance, it encourages unload working vehicles in big cars, but then we live in a democratic country. If someone does not want to bring their car for credit, you can't hold that. And that's what is that. But if you look at how much we used to give to the taxi industry, at least it was 50% of the value of the car for you to come into. Now when we look at that, it makes about 20%. People are no longer interested, and they are better to clean their car, which is why we are now doing the calculations and seeing also the funding. Because you are now saying to someone, come to the car, we give them an allowance, they then buy a new car, which attracts a very high interest rate, and that creates a problem for us. So we are busy with development funding institutions. We are trying to approach them to see whether we can find space at which safety industry can be given loans for the development of very expensive. Ratios calculated. These are usually financial ratios that will appear in the financials of any company listed or otherwise. It tells you the health of the organization and where it is from a financial point of view. But maybe what we should do, Chair, is to tell you what solvency ratio must be at for you to know whether it's empty or not. Tell you that it must be above one, and then you see the current ratio must be above two, and what it means. So that we can actually give to the committee to show what we look at, how we benchmark, because it's a benchmark exercise that we do. And we look at all those things to look at the cash flow, whether the current ratio is okay and the cash flow ratio. We can actually share with the committee, which I will commit to do, what it means, one, how much, what it should be, and where it is, so that it gives you what is the health, it's like your blood pressure. If it's at a certain level, then you are healthy. If it's at a certain level, you are not healthy. So it's the same thing that we do with financial. So we do test whether these entities are healthy or not. Honorable Hadel, You're talking about contradictions in the presentation, achieved and not achieved. You see that we undertake in the MTSF to say by the end of this administration we would have had the bill, an amendment act passed. And on an annual basis we'll then have what we call the APP, which gives us what must happen to that. We thought by this time we would have dealt with all those matters. So insofar as the things going to cabinet, the bills being presented to cabinet, that we have achieved. What we have not achieved, what we are seeing is that we don't have an act in front of us that is amended in line with what we did on the MCSS. So that's just a difference.
So we can't
really
achieve.
I can say achieved, it's staff has not performed, has not completed performance agreements. What are we doing about that? We would remind people we will take the consequence management in those areas, if anything. What usually becomes a challenge, for instance, where what we have discovered is that people that, for instance, would have issues with their managers about the performance agreement that they needed to start and the assessment that comes as a consequence of that. What we teach up is that it's an area where people have very large grievances around those matters. It was one of the issues. One of the issues as well is where we didn't have certain managers in certain positions and therefore performance agreements were not finalized in line with that. So that is something that we are managing with everybody. As I think there was a time when we were seeking a 99%. I doubt it if we are not 100%. We have been sitting at 99 and we think we are 100% at this stage. But it's because we are doing stuff to make sure that people are doing it. Bills and throughput. We do discuss the issues around legislation, I think. And that's why the minister will be discussing with the leader of government business about reshuffling of some of the things. And I think the chair will be aware that the legislative issues that we want to bring here, we do discuss with parliament time and again about those issues. So yes, some of them we thought would be done in this administration, it does not look likely that they will be done in this administration. The issue around the stand still in Mutasa. The taxi industry has actually regressed, if we look at it. I mean, there is a lot of deaths. I mean, for the first people that Honorable Tel was talking about, we have had issues in housing. We have had issues in KZN. Very clearly, we need to do something. I mean, the reality is that the conflict, as they were in that area, have reduced, but now it looks like that's enough. You know, we're having a problem because at the time when interventions were done in the industry, Tantago was also formed. The aim of bringing that the National Safety Council was to ensure that we reduce the areas of conflict in the business. But the reality is that there are more routes that are coming on stream. Other routes are becoming less productive in a sense of lucrative. Others are becoming more lucrative. So people do fight for that space. And as it were, some of them don't find ways of solving conflict in the most amicable fashion. And that created a problem for us. The introduction of the BRT and all other forms of public transport is something that the taxi industry looks at with a view that they can participate in. But what we have found out is that usually once they are in, they want out. So they will go, maybe you say to them, take 100% of the operating company of the BRT. Later on, they find a way to want to get out, for obvious reasons. They used to get money directly to their parents. and we are more than people. We're going to send them to a lot of people. And what then happens is that then they must wait for a month and or they must when dividend are declared for them to release their money. It looks like they have not anticipated some of the issues. But sometimes they also sign themselves into contracts that are not workable arrangements for them. And it's something that the department is working at to try and advise them and be closer to them without necessarily taking what they need to do. 99% of our budget is transferred to entity. No entity must not account back. There are a couple of things, Chair. I'll give you an example. You give money to an entity, you can't get it back. The law does not allow you to get it back. The receipt is caught. The reality is that if you were sitting there and you said, well, there are things that are not going right in the entity, you can't flow back what you have given. You can only stop what has not bought it. And that is what is going on. And it happens also to municipalities and individuals. Department of Education is closing schools and due to the number, this is the problem that the minister was dealing with, where the issue is sometimes it's not us that are running this scholar transport in the center. They are run by Department of Education. And sometimes they will close a school and the Department of Transport will not know about that school. And the traveling time that it takes. So it's something that must be worked in terms of collaboration between the two. But we are working together with Treasury to ensure that that also is dealt with. Operating licenses, illegal operators punished. Let's understand why operating licenses are there. Maybe to a certain extent understand that licenses are provided for as a form of what we call community. So if you do the numbers and you say on this route you need 200 things, that's how much you need it. Except the fact that if that number increases over time, then you can have more licenses. If you then say let's just distribute this operating license, what you are saying is that let's have 400 things on a route that is being economical if you operate 200 things. So you actually manufacturing conflict. Because the people that are in there then are going to start to fight for the city. Because there will be less people to serve, and there will be more people. And the issue is, once you have issued it out, it's very difficult to pull it back. Because in the ordinary court, people who have got operating license will go at the back of that, have, for instance, buy an operating vehicle, and then you can't pull it back on that list. So it's a balancing act that you must do. Before they issue more operating licenses, we say you must understand the reverse of it, that you can't easily reverse someone's operating license, and therefore it needs to be guarded as it is. On civil aviation, we don't intend to lower standards. I personally don't understand why every time we talk transformation, people think we want lower standards. We need to transform the sector. We need to look at impediments. Some of the things that are actually stumbling blocks are not necessarily things that are meant to improve standards. So they are not like that. I mean, some of us won't be sitting in front of you here if our equipment has anything to do with it. Because the reality is that if you don't have a very good math teacher, your metric mathematics will tell you that. It might be because of that, it might not be your inclination about mathematics. So what we are saying is, let's get people to know about them, understand what it is, understand that math literacy, for instance, won't get you to be a pilot. Whereas you are encouraged to do it for other people to push up their pathway. So it's those things that we are trying to get people to understand as we move forward. But it's not aiming to reduce. Honorable Singer,
we've got 10 minutes left.
Yeah, yeah. The role of the department in general, the PFMA is clear about who they are accountable for. The department has actually absolutely no powers except using the executive authority to get to entity. That's the reason. So they are called to parliament, they must account. We do call them from time and again. And as the accounting officer, I don't think you can call an accounting authority and they come and account on the matter. The only thing that we have got is section 38(1)(j) of the PSMA that says as a transferring authority we must do the following. That's the only power that actually has been transferred to them. Of course we do write to the minister and the minister and them. They themselves at times can take even the minister to court, but to the minister you can't say no from here, this is what we do. And this is where the issue around what we call administrative power vis-a-vis executive power coming to play. What are those things that we need to do? I find it odd that the minister can intervene in an entity that is a shareholder in. Very interesting part. I mean, it's something that in our course must still mentioned, but it's something that, on our view, we think that the minister must play a more pronounced role in those parts. And those things we can actually put into the legislation of these entities. Because when we look at all these entities, we could only find areas where you could actually appoint an administrator and the post office act. 12 of ours don't have anything called administration. So that creates a group of us. But it's something that we must intervene on, and I think it helps us moving forward. 40 billion transfer, 18 cities placing capacity, 50% criteria for keeping the funding. We've been trying to put out this funding, and as it were, there are two things you do. You withdraw the funding, you could have done all the work, all that money that you have given them, a billion or so, would be declared fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You give them money, they are not able to spend it, you need to give them capacity. You have been there to capacitate them and give them the capacity. But the reality is, some of them are more interested in tenders rather than. So you need to balance the two. And we don't want to, we want to intervene, but not interfere. So there's a true sort that you must do. Further financial annual report is still outstanding. Well, they have their own accounting authority that is responsible in terms of administration. To put financial in front of Parliament and the minister. They have not done that. I think the issues have been discussed. We are quite comfortable that we have now appointed a new board. It will make sure that all those things are done. And I think the minister will hold them account on those issues. And I think that is just a priority for them as they are moving in. Empowering the locals. You talk about, Honorable Member talks about GIFI. Well, this Australian government of GIFI. GIFI is not even a percent of the federal money. Yes, the one in Australia, but it's only on GIFI. It's only on GIFI. It does work on GIFI. It's not as a track or the other. Someone collects on its own. So the model for them on that is that 100% of administration was done by them. But it's a process that was an open process where they won the tender, and once the thing comes to an end, well, Sandra must now take over as you move. Irregular expenditure, cover an example of the strategic plan, the strategic financial objectives, and all those things. The thing is, what the Parliament sees is usually the threat plan and the APT, and in it, probably corporate plans at times, but there are business plans that are done from part of and much more of the work is done in that area. I don't think that we are not covering the strategic financial objectives. On a more pronounced basis, on a quarterly basis, we do assess the report and we do look at them and tell them what to do in other areas. So I don't think that the fact that they are not in a strategic plan means they are not doing enough. I disagree with that. General remarks about the AG, about low slow response and management compliance technique and consequent management, all those things that we are putting. We are now being forced to actually put these things in the both at a level where we sign shareholder contact with entities that we are supposed to be doing Popularizing our key intervention, I think Honorable Zivande, we should do that. We should popularize our staff more. We have not popularized those things that we are supposed to be doing. The development of the regional transport market access strategy, I think this one I'm going to give to my friends, that's one for me. Issues of finance, the 30 cents per liter. If we did the calculation, the RAF must get 3 cents. So, 10%. But the question is the sustainability of that thing going forward. There is no insurance company in the world that wears unlimited on everything. There is no insurance company that works like that. And RAF is structured like that. So, you are not sure. Secondly, that RAF has got, you can, anyone who travels on our route is a client, a possible client of RAF. Now, the reality is that it's not easy to actually go into there, even actually don't know how to. Actual evaluation is quite an intricate thing that we must do. What we must do is a simple thing. We must solve RTMC and all the other issues. They must stop. We must have people that are safe so that they don't have to go. So the importance of that and the funding on both sides is quite important. The RAF proposal, I don't think that RAF should solve the problem as it were in this current, because we still have for 205 billion that we must do. The filling of vacancies that has been done, the minister is busy with that. He has moved quite far on those matters. Staff establishment, the training given to staff, better opportunities. But to keep staff, we do sign agreements with this guy. If I get a salary, I sign an agreement that I'm not going to leave. Industrial corridor, that is dealt with, I think, at the international level with the MECs and the premiers in the provinces. There are no safety in rural areas. We acknowledge that, and there is something that needs to happen in that regard. I think outreach programs we have dealt with. Yes, we are now looking at issues of targeting women and youth in our thing, and we'll bring the whole band once we get information. I don't know if Chair, you can give us an extra 5 minutes for my colleague to add on matters that I've not touched on.
You're left with 2 minutes. If they can speak within those 2 minutes.
I think the issue in relation to regional market access strategy, we concede to the point that we could have managed the process better, but we felt it would have been improper for us to conclude a strategy without doing benchmarking exercise across the region. I think that's the outstanding issue that we couldn't do at the time when this matter was supposed to be finalized. However, we still commit to dealing with that issue, because a strategy that talks across the region, access and so forth, will not be complete if we don't check with our colleagues in the region as to whether this is acceptable, the approach that has been adopted and so forth. I think that is the only outstanding issue that we couldn't go through at the time when the matter was supposed to be finalized.
Next.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just 2 minutes, and I'm going to pick up one. I think the message on outreach programs, I think there was a desire from a member, we need to go on a tripartite basis. I think that one is the message that we can commit to the DG and the minister, so that in the plans for this program, that such is taken into another area related to the taxi industry in terms of the economic opportunities. Once again, I think our public transport team is looking to the latter, but also in terms of the department for planning in terms of the tax reform process, the matter that I think we are taking back as important national dialogue to see how the opportunities for the tax reform can be established for that.
Yes, the other thing that I, the my CFO didn't deal with was the issue raised by Member Mutinga about the slide 4, where they are saying there are so many things raised there, but it doesn't give us a better understanding of the 6-point issues that were listed there, or 7 points. I think it's sufficient to say these are issues that were part of the Minister delivery agreement, but the undertaking of it has been delivered through other mechanisms. For instance, the first point, the improved national transport planning to develop whatever, it was the net map was seeking to achieve. And the issue of the cargo, freight, rail, whatever, it's the road freight strategy that is seeking to respond. However, much detail can be submitted in relation to what has been done, but in summary, those issues were not elaborated here, but it's an indication of some of the issues that, in terms of the Minister Delivery Agreement for the 2014-2019 was supposed to cover on and address upon those issues.
Thank you very much. I've added 2 minutes to your people. I think you've done a service. Honourable members who will go for lunch, but before we go for lunch, honourable members, I think we have to be honest to the department. A question was raised by one honourable member here that we don't have the annual report from CASA. And we're going to be allocating and agreeing to the budget, which is the biggest challenge towards Prasa. We need to make a reflection onto this, that indeed, if they could not submit the annual report by the 30th of September last year, to date, nothing has happened. How sure are we that this budget that we should be allocating to Prasa will be accounted for in the bigger scheme of things? I don't expect members to answer, but I'm saying this is food for thought, and I'm giving this to the CFO to go and discuss with the DG, the acting DG, and the minister to say, the portfolio committee has got consent, because now we've finished the 2017-18 financial year. We're now starting 2018-19 financial year. We have started it already, and we haven't received anything from Prasa as in the annual report. What does this tell us? And I think it becomes very important. Let's go for lunch, but I'm requesting the members to just remain for 2 minutes. We'll take a 30-minute break for lunch. If all our members can remain for 2 minutes so that we are able to have our house in order. Definitely must be back here by 2 minutes.